This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They are who we thought they were.
We are two wild and crazy guys.
And then we're going to find our best friend Doug. And then we're going to give him our best friend hug.
Tony, you're right, mate.
That just happened.
What would you say you do here?
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
It's the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Good morning, everyone, from Kansas City, inside of the NCAA Women's Basketball Regionals. It's the Doug and Daddy Show on this Monday, as we are live with you from the Marriott downtown, just a handful of blocks away from the Sprint Center, where the Sweet 16 was played last night, and one Big 12 team advanced, and one did not, and unfortunately for Husker fans, the season came to an end, the best season ever for Nebraska. Doug Duda, along with our Big fella, Big Daddy, Tony Davis, and Derek Stinson taking care of things back in the studio. We'll have some special guests. We'll hear from Coach Yori. We'll hear from some of the Husker players and their comments after the game last night. But let's just start out with the fact, Tony, that it was overwhelmingly disappointing the way that that game played out last night. Oklahoma beats Notre Dame in overtime, gets a little juice in the air. Nebraska fans probably had Kentucky fans outnumbered 10-1, 9-1. And it didn't matter. They didn't get a chance to get into the ball game last night until it was way too late.
Yeah, and if you didn't stay up and watch the game last night, Doug, you see that score of 76-67, you think relatively close. Well, it wasn't that close. Really, at halftime, you really started to wonder if Nebraska was even in the ball game. They looked to be overmatched from the beginning of the ball game and never really got back into it. Once Kentucky was able to establish 6-8-point lead, Nebraska never closed that gap, could never get closer.
Well, obviously, the story of the ball game was Kentucky's quickness against Nebraska. We'll hear from Coach in a minute, but that's what it all came down to, rebounding. There's absolutely no reason that Kentucky out-rebounded Nebraska last night, and that is what happened in the basketball game. Kentucky with 36 total rebounds, 25 for Nebraska, 12 for Kelsey Griffin, and this is one of those tough analysis of a ball game because Nebraska had such a great year. They hustled most of the time last night. They tried. They just matched up with a team that they couldn't handle last night. My comment as I thought about this last night leaving the Sprint Center at about 1:30 in the morning is that, A, Nebraska was a great basketball team, but they weren't overly great in one area outside of Kelsey Griffin. Sometimes they shot the three ball very well. Sometimes they didn't in the losses. Neither loss did they shoot the ball that great. 5 of 12 last night wasn't horrible, but they were 1 of 3 in the first half. A lot of those threes were in the last 7 minutes of the game when they were down by as many as 19 in the basketball game. And then they weren't very big inside. So when they played physical teams like A&M, they beat them. Oklahoma, a little bit of a struggle. When they played quick teams like UCLA last week, they struggled, and they came back and won that. And then last night, they just couldn't get to any ball that was loose. I mean, so many 13 offensive rebounds last night for Kentucky, which is just a travesty, and it says that there were 7 for Nebraska. I can't remember more than a couple last night. It just seemed like every loose ball, whether it was a rebound, whether the ball was tipped away, whether you were going for a steal, whether it was just an errant pass, Kentucky got to every single ball, and then they would milk the clock. They'd run that clock down in the second half. They'd run it down to 5 seconds. They'd shoot. They'd miss. They'd grab the rebound, and they'd run it down again. And it's pretty tough to come back from double digits when you never have the basketball.
Well, it's very frustrating, and I think everybody that's watched this team, Doug, goes back to last week with UCLA, who looked to be the quicker team for the first 5-6 minutes. Everybody just expected that Nebraska run, you know, to get them back even, and then all of a sudden, the two threes, the layup, they're up by 8. It never happened. Everybody waited for it. Well, pretty soon we're in the middle of the second half, and all of a sudden, instead of that lead getting closer, the lead for Kentucky is going wider. Victoria Dunlap, she's the SEC Player of the Year for a reason. You know, it looked like they did pretty well against Thompson, the freshman of the year, Thomas, freshman of the year. But there's other people that stood up that totally just took over the game, and it didn't look to me or you like Corey Montgomery was anywhere near the player that she seemed to be throughout the year. But then you look at her stat line and, okay, yeah, she was there, you know, 15, 14, 10 points, 22 points. Dominique Kelly ties a career high. You know, those players stepped up, but it was stepping up, I think, too late for this team. There was, seemed to be no sense of urgency for me throughout the game. Was there a sense of urgency?
I totally disagree with that. Nebraska, I think, pressed midway through the second half. They became
They became so
enveloped in what was going on that they were almost over trying. They had such a insurmountable lead to try and overcome. This basketball team was down by 19 in the second half, and they've been down 19 one other time this year. That was the Texas A&M, and they never got anything going there. They never got closer than 7 points last night, and it seemed like every time they make back-to-back stops, which was about three times, they hit back-to-back buckets, they'd have about three stops, and then something would happen where they'd get the stop, but then an offensive rebound or a loose ball was run down. In Nebraska, the crowd would get in it for a couple of minutes, and then Kentucky would do something to take the crowd out of it. And Nebraska got a solid game from Kelsey Griffin. I thought Kentucky did a great job on her. I really don't know what happened to Corey Montgomery last night. I think she was pitted up against Dunlap more than she wanted to be, and I think she was really taken out of her game. Four players scored 61 of the 67 points for Nebraska. They didn't use the bench very much. The bench didn't produce. The role players didn't produce offensively last night. And really, defensively, they may have hustled, but the numbers weren't there because Kentucky kept getting all the loose balls, and everybody scored for Kentucky as well. It was really a four-on-three type of ball game. The stars stood out for everybody, and none of the role players, as far as offense, really did anything last night.
Doug, didn't you, maybe the sense of urgency, maybe Nebraska, they hustled. I'm not saying they didn't play hard, but the positive energy, it seemed to be a lot of people hanging their heads. They never did get that upbeat feeling like, here we go, something good, we're going to make something good happen.
Well, the ball never bounced their way. The ball never bounced their way, and when you're 30 minutes into a game down 16 points and the ball hasn't bounced your way once, you got to wonder what happened. Well, coming up on the show today, we are going to be joined here in just a moment by ESPN's Pam Ward, who called the ball game last night, so Pam's going to join us. We're also expected to be joined by the voice of the Huskers, Matt Cotney, Michelle Vopel from ESPN.com, who is covering the tournament, and Barry Trammell to talk about Oklahoma's win last night over Notre Dame. So we'll take a break here from Kansas City, the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, and Pam Ward will join us to talk about last night's game and tomorrow's matchup between Kentucky and Oklahoma right after this timeout.
Westwood One presents great moments in tournament history.
Charlotte shoots North Carolina into the winner's circle. A women's buzzer beater after this.
Everybody knows your oil protects your engine. But what's protecting your oil? Fram. Because a Fram Extra Guard oil filter delivers three times the engine protection versus the average of leading economy filters, trapping 95% of dirt and harmful particles. Next oil change? Don't mess around. Go with Fram. The dirt stops here. Based on ISO 45481 testing, visit Fram.com for details.
Do you owe back taxes, being audited? Whatever your tax-related problem, the former IRS agents and tax professionals at Taxmasters can help solve your tax problems today. Call 1-877-202-7222 or go to txmstr.com. Taxmasters will get between you and the IRS. They'll make sure they treat you fairly and treat you with respect. Call Taxmasters right now at 877-202-7222 or go to txmstr.com. Taxmasters will solve your tax problems.
April 3rd, 1994, the women's national championship game between North Carolina and Louisiana Tech. Tech led 59-57 when the Tar Heels got the ball back with 7/10 of a second left on the clock. Carolina coach Sylvia Hatchell called timeout and diagrammed a play for Charlotte Smith.
Now, here we go. They hand her the ball. She looks, plays it in far side for a three from Charlotte Smith. She hit it! She hit a three-point basket! North Carolina wins at a three-point basket by Charlotte Smith. The Tar Heels are national champions.
Smith also grabbed a record 23 rebounds, but her dramatic game-winning shot is certainly another great moment in women's tournament history. I'm Kevin Kugler.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center provides a continuum of physical therapy care, including treatment of neck and back pain, post-surgical rehab, women's health, and pediatric services. Walk-ins are welcome to our facility located in the Kearney Clinic building. Family Physical Therapy.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
The best season ever by the NU Women's Basketball Program.
He's on fire!
In Kansas City.
He's got 18!
Doug and Daddy will be there through the Lady Huskers competition, featuring special guests from NU, from the Big 12. Doug and Daddy in KC, The Road Show, brought to you by Dynagrow. Grow with Dynagrow. And Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. Excellence in Rehabilitation. Doug and Daddy, 11-1 from Kansas City, on ESPN 1460 and 1550.
Huskers win by 11!
Sunny skies develop as we head through the day today with a high temperature up in the mid-70s. Southwest winds will also become gusty at times around 10 to 15 miles per hour. Skies then remain clear tonight with a low around 43. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, 46.
Welcome back to Kansas City with the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation for the NCAA Women's Regional Tournament. We are, still sad this morning.
We're disappointed more than anything, and Doug, they took us on such a magical run to go undefeated throughout the toughest conference. I think hands down the toughest conference, top to bottom. Missouri beat Baylor, folks. Missouri finished the conference season 9-7. They beat Baylor. Baylor just thumped yesterday.
Here's the only good thing that came out of yesterday. We're not Iowa State. And by we, I mean Nebraska fans are not Iowa State, but Baylor and Oklahoma are still playing, and so that stings a little bit as well. But last night, as you watched the game on ESPN, Pam Ward and Debbie Antonelli and the gang were taking care of things, and Pam joins us here in Kansas City on the Doug and Daddy Show. Pam, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks for giving us some time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's great to be talking to the fine folks in Nebraska.
Well,
we're a little down.
Yeah, you're gonna have to soothe the soul this morning. Tell us, overall, when the game finished up last night, what was the one thing that kind of stuck out in your head?
Well, I think it stuck out about 5 minutes into it. I had not seen Kentucky in person until yesterday as well. And that is, I was just telling Tony, that's the fastest team that I've seen this year. And they just don't, they're just relentless, and they come at you at waves. And their athleticism, I knew they were athletic, I knew they played great defense, but again, that's just that's almost like the old Nolan Richardson, 40 minutes. Can I say that?
Oh, hell, yes.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't know if I could say it on the station.
That's a kind word for that.
Okay. And it was they were remarkable, and I don't know what Nebraska could have done really to counter that.
Pam, I said in our intro, it seemed to be from Nebraska's point of view, we saw it versus UCLA. You just expected that's going to go away. Nebraska's going to make that run instead of it's going to be 26-26. All of a sudden, it's going to be 35-26, and Nebraska's going to take care of it. Never happened. They just kept coming. Not with the extra kids.
Right.
There were 5-6 kids the whole game.
Right, and that's Heather Cox, our sideline reporter, actually heard that in the Nebraska huddle in the first half, the kids were saying, it wasn't Coach Urie, they're going to get tired. They can't keep this up. And I think that's what they were thinking, probably referencing back to UCLA, and they didn't get tired. And UCLA, Nikki Caldwell did a terrific job coaching those kids. They really overachieved this year, and you're looking at a whole different level of talent with Kentucky. As you know, guys, SEC Freshman of the Year in Mathis, the SEC Player of the Year in Dunlap, they're just a very skilled team and a lot more skill and better condition than UCLA.
We're talking with Pam Ward of ESPN here on the Doug and Daddy Show in Kansas City. Was there something besides Kentucky's quickness that stood out that Nebraska either did or didn't do?
Well, I think having and as good as Lindsay Moore has been, having a freshman point guard, you could tell, and you know, she was taken out early, that she was frustrated. And again, I just don't know how much you can see. And you guys touched on it. As good a league as the Big 12 is, you think they would be prepared for anything? And I was talking to Deb Antonelli, who does more basketball games than women's basketball games than anybody on the planet. I swear she does like five a week. I said, is there anybody in the Big 12 who plays this fast? And she said, maybe Texas. And I've seen Texas, and that's not correct. And you all have seen them.
Yeah.
So, but it was interesting that Griffin, you know, as hard as she plays, you know, couldn't get the ball in the right position. They just, you know, they're a defense first philosophy. Kentucky. And it just played out that way the whole game, and every bounce went their way. It was almost like kind of like divine intervention for like God was wearing a Kentucky blue last night, because you guys saw it. Every 50-50 ball was more like 90-10 Kentucky. Yeah.
We were talking about that. It didn't seem like that was the quickness factor that both coaches talked about in the post game. It wasn't that Nebraska wasn't hustling. They just weren't as quick.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a difference between being quick and fast, and they certainly were quick. And at the end of the game, when that ball hit Dunlap, she deflected it, and it goes in the basket, that's when they should have just turned off the lights and said, you know, we're going home, because it was just there was no way you could overcome things like circumstances.
So
like that.
True. Well, that was when you just throw the pen down and go,
that's
it.
It's over.
There's no miracle.
But Nebraska had, a terrific season, and you know, and nobody, you guys, who would have foreseen this happening?
Well, either team last night, Kentucky picked 11th in the SEC,
yeah.
Nebraska 6th. I guess just to follow up on that a little bit, you've seen the circuit, how tough it is for a team that's never been there to make that initial run. Now, Kentucky's doing it. Nebraska comes out on the short end, and heck, Kentucky, I think, has got a heck of a shot against Oklahoma tomorrow night. But talk about how tough it is to go through it maybe for the first time when the kids haven't been that deep ever.
Yeah, I think sometimes it can either go two ways. And I know, like, when you look at research, teams that are first-time Sweet 16 teams usually don't do very well. But then sometimes there's that youth factor where they're kind of like Maryland in 2006 when they had two freshmen, two sophomores, and a junior, and they went on to win the national championship. That was the sort of team that just kept playing, and, you know, you're just kind of oblivious to everything. But it is tough, and there is tightness, and there's unfamiliarity, and you know, and then a lot of times you go, once you get deeper into the tournament, there are teams that look, and if you see you're playing Tennessee or you're playing Connecticut, you look at that jersey, and the battle's pretty much over. But sometimes, and this Kentucky team seems to be that kind of team, because they played obviously Tennessee in the SEC, that they're loose, they're sort of oblivious, and that's, I think, really going to help them. And it certainly, I mean, they're the only SEC team left in the tournament.
Pam, to play a game like they did versus Nebraska, to come back and do it two nights later, is that too much to ask out of a young team or not?
I don't think so, because, again, they appear to be in terrific condition, and if I'm Oklahoma, we talked about this on the air last night, I don't know how much sleep Sherry Cole and her staff are going to be getting over the next couple of days. These two teams have never met in any time in their history, so they're unfamiliar with each other. And you know, I love Danielle Robinson, the point guard for Oklahoma, but this is going to be a supreme test for her. And they don't have a backup, so she's got to be really careful with the ball. Can't get into foul trouble, or else it could be another bloodletting almost.
Well, we're going to hear from Barry Trammell from the Oklahoma perspective here after our next break. But on a wide scale now, everybody's just playing to see who's going to be the runner-up to Connecticut. But there's been some excitement. I mean, Baylor pulled off the upset.
Yeah.
There's been some excitement in the tournament.
It really has been a terrific tournament. You know, we've had people like San Diego State and Gonzaga and teams that, and in women's basketball, it just doesn't happen. And it's boring. Usually it's a one or two seed always gets to the Final Four, but we've at least had, you know, we're catching up. At least it's exciting, and now through the Elite Eight, it's pretty exciting. But I think it is, you know, you guys saw what Connecticut has done. I mean, they're winning tournament games by almost 50 points per game, and Iowa State looked like a junior high team yesterday when they played them. Unless something happens to Maya Moore, Tina Charles, God forbid injury, but if they get into foul trouble, I don't see how they can lose. They don't have any depth. They got like two guys who come in off the bench, but they're in terrific condition, and they play hard on every play. Gino Auriemma is a terrific coach, but Stanford's playing really well now. I'd love to see those two guys play together. I think Stanford's the only team that really could get to them, because they let them at the half when they played them back in December. You know, but yeah, it's like Connecticut is number one, Stanford's number two, and then it's like there's 300 number threes almost right now in the country.
Pam, when you look at when the field is announced, and you've got all these home, you know, Iowa State was at home, Texas was at home. A number two seed like A&M goes to Seattle on a, okay, Gonzaga thumps them as a two seed we thought really would be playing right now. Mm-hmm. Your overall thoughts on what the committee did and what they had to work with this year?
Well, this year they were in a really precarious position because of the 16 first-round sites, six of the home teams did not make it. I was out in Pittsburgh, and they had to send Ohio State out there, and they lost again early. That's a whole other story we could get into, what's going on at Ohio State. But I think the committee did. You can't have neutral sites in the first and second rounds. They tried that with having the eight sites for a few years, and the attendance slipped. But you're really at the mercy of having the home team make it. And, yes, it's not fair if you're a number two seed to have to go all the way across the country. But Gary Blair, the head coach, after they won the Big 12, remember he said, committee, if you're watching, please don't put me in Geno's regional. He just didn't want to be with them. He said, ship me out west, ship me to China, I don't care, just don't let me play. And unfortunately for him, he did go out west, and they didn't even get close to playing Connecticut.
It worked for Bob Huggins, his complaining, but not so much on the other side of things.
No.
Pam Ward from ESPN, last question before we let you get out of here. You gave us your thoughts on Oklahoma, Connecticut. Knowing what you know about Nebraska, what do you think the future is there, and is the Big 12 still going to be the conference to beat for the next couple of years?
I think the Big 12 is definitely the conference to beat. You know, a lot of holes that Connie Urie has to fill, this terrific senior class leaving, and you know, I hear she's got, and you guys would know better than I, some good recruits coming in. And the one great thing, not the one great thing, there's many great things about this. You got season tickets going up, people are starting to recognize Cornhusker women's basketball, and recruits are going to notice. And they're going to look and they're going to say, hey, they have all these seniors leaving, so there's playing time. And that's a lot of kids look at that right now. They don't want to sit and wait. They want to go in and play right away. So I think the future is definitely looking up. And I know y'all are upset in Huskerland today, but you should be very proud of this team. It's remarkable what they did. And they just ran up against a buzzsaw last night.
Pam Ward from ESPN. Pam, thanks so much for stopping by today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to talk a little bit about the Oklahoma-Notre Dame game with Barry Trammell coming up right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
It's March Madness all month long at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney. All month long, stop by and fill out your brackets for free and then earn points. Trade those points in for multiple prizes. Also during March Madness, participate in the Madness Pick'em Championship game and have a chance to win the grand prize. Don't forget they have the coldest beers in town and plenty of TVs to watch every single game. NCAA Tournament, March Madness all month long at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, Kearney.
Hackers now generate more than 40,000 threats per day, yet most security software only protects against the most common threats. That's why Webroot customers often say they switched to Webroot after they got infected using something else. With Webroot, you not only get the best protection, you also get the best telephone support free from security specialists based in the U.S. Find out why they're safe, and there's Webroot Safe. For a free security scan, visit webroot.com/radio or your nearest Best Buy.
Having gout is like living on a volcano ready to erupt into a hot, fiery flare. You try to control it with medicine and diet, but while you may have fewer flares, gout still sends painful reminders of who's in charge. Put flares in their place. Go to gout.com for information and ask your doctor if there are better ways to fight for fewer flares over time by reducing the high uric acid that causes them. Maybe that painful mountain could become a molehill. Gout.com. Fight for fewer flares.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center provides a continuum of physical therapy care, including treatment of neck and back pain, post-surgical rehab, women's health, and pediatric services. Walk-ins are welcome to our facility located in the Kearney Clinic building. Family Physical Therapy.
Huskers are back in 2010 with a top 10 start dancing in their heads. Will they get there? Find out.
It's going to be a challenge, a great challenge.
John Callahan's reports from Nebraska's spring football camp come to you twice daily, 7:51 in the morning, 12:21 in the afternoon, on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
There are a lot of great expectations, high expectations, but that's what makes it a good job.
1460 and 1550.
Sunny skies develop as we head through the day today with a high temperature up in the mid-70s. Southwest winds will also become gusty at times around 10 to 15 miles per hour. Skies then remain clear tonight with a low around 43. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, 52.
back to the Doug and Danny Show. We're live here in Kansas City at the downtown Marriott Media Headquarters for the NCAA Regional Tournament, which regional semifinals were yesterday. The regional final tomorrow will be between Oklahoma and Kentucky. Oh, Daddy, how much fun would it have been? And there is a good Oklahoma fan base here, and I'm sure there would be even more for a Tuesday game from both Oklahoma and Nebraska. But we were talking about that after the game yesterday, is that Oklahoma-Nebraska, just another great reason to have that rivalry, and Oklahoma-Nebraska fans seem to get along pretty well on the off days. It just isn't going to happen, though.
Yeah, especially with that light district right there. They would have got along great in there and in those seven establishments and with the music playing. It would have been a fun, fun day, but it's all for naught after Nebraska bows out last night, so Kentucky's going to have to bring their contingent, which seemed to be a rather small one, but they made their noise last night at the end of the game, and good for them. They had reason to celebrate.
Well, and the game before that was the more exciting game of the night, is Oklahoma. For many times looked like they were going to put it away, and Notre Dame hit a couple of big shots down the stretch to send it to overtime, but Oklahoma does eventually win this ball game 77-72, and we are pleased to be joined here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk a little Oklahoma basketball from the Oklahoman, Barry Trammell. Barry, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Well, we're depressed.
Well, I don't blame you. I mean, Nebraska had a glorious season. Let's see. I figured up Nebraska's record last night. I think it was 31-0 outside of Kansas City, and 1-2 in Kansas City, I think, was Nebraska's record. So Kansas City wasn't very kind to the Huskers this year.
Yeah, weren't certainly kind to Oklahoma last night, especially getting a late three-pointer from the corner to end all hopes the Irish had.
Yeah, Nyasha Stevenson hit the tiebreaker with 4.4 seconds. It's actually a great story. That's the girl who missed the three-pointer at the buzzer in the Final Four last year. Oklahoma loses to Louisville 61-59, and Stevenson had a three-pointer to win it, and it rimmed out. 2 years ago in the second round of the NCAA, Oklahoma is down one or two, I can't remember, against Notre Dame in overtime, and Stevenson commits a turnover in the last few seconds. So two straight, March miseries for Nyasha Stevenson, but she comes through last night, so good for her.
Barry, something a little bit interesting about Nebraska and Oklahoma. You would think that you sports writers, and by you, I mean Steve Sipple from Lincoln, you at Oklahoma, you guys would be all into Oklahoma spring football, Nebraska spring football. Sip's been to one spring football practice. How many have you made it to?
I haven't been to any. Sam Bradford, as we speak, Sam Bradford is throwing for the NFL scouts down in Norman, 11 a.m. On that deal. I haven't been to any. Now, let me say this. We've got it well covered. We've got three or four people there. So, I mean, and we got somebody at every practice. But spring football, two things. One, it's not as important as it used to be. Two, it's not 1976 and Barry Switzer isn't letting you in and letting you in the huddle. It's pretty shut down. I assume Bo's got it the same way in Lincoln. And three, there are some other things to take our time. As much as everybody loves football, no practice is better than a basketball game. The great thing in my mind about women's basketball, lots of things to like about it, but one thing I like about it is it gives everyone in a lot of places, Oklahoma, Nebraska included, something more to care about. And that, to me, that's what the sports world is all about, things to care about. And in the old days, it was football and a little bit of men's basketball. But now, in Nebraska, you've got the women's basketball going great and something else you can really sink your teeth into. And I think that's great. In Oklahoma, we got the NBA now and everybody's fired up about the Thunder. So it doesn't lessen the passion for, say, Sooner football, but it does give, people don't have to obsess over the backup offensive tackle. They don't have to obsess about where this junior in Dallas is going to go to high school a year and a half from now. So that's the good part about it for me.
Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we are broadcasting today from Kansas City. Barry, are you surprised? How surprised are you at the run the Oklahoma women have made this year? I don't think a lot of people necessarily saw this coming.
Well, I actually thought they were going to be very good without the Paris sisters. But then second week of the year, Whitney Hand blows a knee And then I just wrote them off. And I thought, well, they'll win some games, and they'll make the NCAA, and they'll have a fighting chance to get to the Sweet 16 because they get to play at home. So, but to play to the level they did without Hand, I thought was remarkable. And then to win that game last night really stamps this as a special season, because by all rights, there's no reason for them to be this good. When you rebuild without the Paris Twins and then lose what I think is your second-best player, that's a remarkable thing to do. But you know what? We've seen it on the men's side. Two teams in the Final Four, and the men made the Final Four without a starter who got hurt during the tournament.
Yeah.
So sometimes teams are more resilient than we want to give them credit for.
Barry, I think people that just passively follow this women's basketball and just kind of write it off, don't understand the storylines that go with this. Elijah Wan's daughter takes over for Cordy Paris and Bubba Paris's kids. He hasn't been to games, and people don't know that. I don't think people in our backyard know the story about Akeem Olajuwon and these kids.
Well, I don't claim to know. Akeem has never been to a game. Abby Olajuwon's a senior. She really hadn't played much until this year, but he has not been to a game. He lives in Jordan. We did a big story on her a week ago, and she talked very highly of her father and said he basically doesn't like to get out and go to public places because he's mobbed. I'm not going to judge the guy. I can tell you this. If my daughter was playing college basketball, a pack of wild tigers couldn't keep me away.
Right.
And let me say this. Some big shots have shown up on the Oklahoma campus from time to time. It's not, they don't get mobbed like Elvis in 1957. So I don't know what's going on with Akeem, but
he's a scout for the Rockets. Is that what we understand overseas?
Well, I don't know what he does. I don't claim to know what he does. I just know he theoretically lives in Jordan. Abby was not raised by Akeem. She was raised in Los Angeles by her mother, who's a very successful woman in the film industry. This is not a neglected child or anything. I don't want to say that. But it's a strange story to me.
Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman is joining us here tomorrow night, the matchup with Kentucky. It looks like Oklahoma's going to want to pound it inside even more than Nebraska wanted to last night. This looks like even more contrasting styles. Your thoughts on tomorrow's matchup?
Yeah, I've just read up some on Kentucky. I was working during the Nebraska-Kentucky game, so I didn't get to watch much of it. It looks to me like Kentucky's very athletic and plays pressure defense. Danny Robinson's going to have to really play well, but if she handles that pressure, then I think Oklahoma will win. If the pressure gets to them and they commit a lot of turnovers, I think maybe they lose. But, what really happened, and Kentucky's a very good team and can easily win, but what happened was about 11 o'clock last night, Oklahoma went from a slight underdog to a slight favorite in the regional final, because I think they would have been a slight underdog against Nebraska. The Huskers proved their mettle. When they went to Norman and won, they went, had the great run through the Big 12, 16-0. So, Nebraska was a legitimate number one, and Kentucky, I think, is a legitimate number four. One difference there is, Kentucky played virtually no one in the non-conference, while Oklahoma played, Connecticut, Tennessee, Georgia, Notre Dame. The Sooners will not be intimidated or scared, they've been there, and most of these girls have played in a Final Four and got to a Final Four. Oklahoma's got a big experience edge and a big game edge.
Another thing I don't think people realize is what a big deal on campus Sherry Cole is. She takes on a personality of her own in the life room.
You've sort of undersold her. It's not a campus deal. It's a state deal.
I'd say more than a state deal, too.
I'm not kidding. I am not embellishing. Sometimes I embellish. I'm not embellishing. She could be the governor. It'd be a landslide if she ran for governor. We're in a governor's race. And the Republican nominee is going to be a woman, Mary Fallon, a congresswoman. The Democrat is a good race between the attorney general and the lieutenant governor. The lieutenant governor is a female. So we may have a woman versus a woman running for governor. You put both of them up against Sherry Cole, it's not even close. She blows them out of the water. So she could be the governor.
Couple more wins, she might be a congresswoman, I'll tell you what. Well, Barry, I know you got to get to practice, so we'll let you get out of here, and hopefully Oklahoma takes it on to the Final Four and continues to represent the Big 12, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right,
as the
guys,
football continues.
It.
Take care. Barry Travel from the Oklahoma joining us here at the NCAA Regionals in Kansas City. Daddy, Oklahoma, you know, every once in a while, just damn it. They took two or three from us in baseball. They're still alive in basketball, even though their men's basketball program took one in the face this year. Now the football team continues to do some good things. So
it stings, but it still doesn't give you that bite, Doug. It still doesn't give you that bite that, say, in Texas does. You know, you're still a little bit happy for when you look at the Big 12 side of things. But I think, you know, I think that that's good. I think people realize that. You know, we'll be cheering for Oklahoma tomorrow night.
It doesn't matter to me tomorrow. I mean, Kentucky did the things that they needed to do to beat Nebraska. The only thing I don't want to see, it's like the Hastings College women when they got upset, and then the team from Iowa went out and laid an egg the next time. Kentucky, don't come out tomorrow night and act like you didn't know what the hell happened. But we've talked, coaches talk about this a lot. It's a lot easier, it seems, and you touched on it there with Pam earlier. It's a lot easier to have that time and prepare for opponent one, and then say what you want, still just really a day to try and get everything in you want for opponent number two. Although for Kentucky, how much different will this be? I mean, they're taking on a team that's a lot like Nebraska, very talented, likes to get the ball in the post. And in fact, you take a look at their post players, they really don't handle the ball like Kelsey Griffin did, and that might even be more advantageous for Kentucky.
You know, the things I got to say about Kentucky, wow, what pretty cheerleaders. I thought the cheerleader sums up for Kentucky. I thought the whole pep rally deal before the game, I give that a thumbs up to every team that came. They went through just team by team, brought out their pep bands, their cheerleaders. They went through a little pep rally about 20 minutes apiece over in the light district just to the west of the Sprint Center. I think all the fans showed up. You know, so Sunday night, I think there would have been a lot more people had this been a Saturday afternoon, obviously. But for a Sunday night, I thought the crowd was great. I thought the atmosphere was really good. I think you know, women's basketball just starting to put themselves on the map as more teams start getting involved, Doug, and I think that's great for everybody.
And we will be talking about the men's tournament. We'll be talking more about the women's tournament. I have a couple more guests out there for you. Kentucky and Oklahoma, they don't have the line out yet. Yes, they do have they do have point spreads for the women's game. I think it'll be interesting to see what that was. By the way, Nebraska was a 6.5-point favorite last night, and they were a 7-point favorite when they played UCLA. I guess I'm still shocked. I think a lot of Nebraska fans are going to be shocked. Connie Yori didn't. She was posed the question last night, did Kentucky's quickness even surprise you? I mean, you knew they were quick, but were they even quicker? And I'm not sure that she said yes or no to that, and we'll hear some quotes from her and from some of the players as well coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show. But I think Nebraska still going to be shocked, a little surprised. And as Pam Ward told us a little while ago from ESPN, you know, they picked up in the huddle that the Nebraska players are saying, hey, they've got to get tired, they've got to eventually wear down, when it was probably the other way around.
Yeah, and, you know, after the game, another thing I found interesting, Doug, you know, Connie Yori saying, we didn't commit to going inside like we had planned all along. And you sit there after the game and go, you know, why is that? Even when they got the ball down and had a manageable situation and they had the offense set up, that's one thing they never did with a height advantage.
And they missed some shots inside, especially in the second half when they did get it inside a few times. And then you just, I mean, a lot of little bunnies, little four-footers, and then you'd expect, well, they're going to just get their own offensive rebound and stick it back in. That's not what happened. They just got killed on the glass last night. If you're not the quicker team, if you're supposed to be the post team, you can't get out-rebounded. I don't care how quick they are. Quickness does not elaborate into height, into jumping over the top of people that are 8 inches taller than you. And the ball just took some weird hops last night, and Nebraska wishes it was a 70-minute game or a 50-minute game instead of a 40-minute game, because they did start to put it in, but it's a 40-minute game. That's what Kentucky was trained for. So already have talked with Pam Ward, who called the game last night for ESPN, Barry Travel from the Oklahoma after their win over Notre Dame last night.
And, again, Oklahoma looked like the better team last night all the way through and had to scratch and claw and fight and do everything they could to pull that game out in overtime. So tomorrow night, tip-off at around 8:10, Oklahoma will be taking on Kentucky. This is the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, brought to you in part by the fine folks at Family Physical Therapy. And it's fun, but it would have been more fun, obviously, had the Huskers stuck around a little longer, Tony.
Well, now, you know, you look back right now, and, yeah, you wish they were here till Tuesday night and then playing on further. But you think back to the season and taking care of business the way they were able to in that conference, going on the road. Yes, you play everybody. You go through and, you know, Doug, we said at Christmas time when they were 16-0 and 17-0, and you fully expect them to lose. Well, I did not, really. I really thought they'd go undefeated. No, not really. But when you go to Texas A&M and everybody expects you to lose, you go to Oklahoma and everybody expects you to lose, you come out of those win. And then maybe playing in that, you're going to hear all these theories. Maybe playing in the toughest conference finally caught up with them. Maybe they beat each other up year after year and couldn't get it done at the end. Oh, there's a lot of things. But when you look back on it, it's still going to be remembered as the greatest season to this point ever in Nebraska women's history.
Again, the Doug and Daddy Road Show brought to you in part by Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. You can check them out online, FamilyPTSC, which of course stands for Physical Therapy Sports Center, FamilyPTSC.com, located at 211 West 33rd Street in Kearney. You can call them at 236-5884 for excellence in rehabilitation, Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center in Kearney. We will take a break, and we will try and make contact with Michelle Volpel of ESPN.com. She is their lead women's reporter when it comes to blogging and taking care of things on the web, and we'll try and make some contact with her, plus talk to the voice of the Huskers, Matt Coatney, and get into the men's tournament. We're going till 1 o'clock today, live from the downtown Marriott in Kansas City. This is the Doug and Daddy Show at the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament.
This is the sound of vicious, angry weasels. This is their cage door opening in my car. This is me earlier, searching online for a pet store. I ran out of their food. A map would have helped. And a phone number. Not every pet store sells weasel chow, it turns out. It would have been good to know that.
Yahoo Search delivers local business info, maps, ratings, and more. All on one page, right at the top. Just what you need, just one search.
Next time, I'm using Yahoo Search.
No matter what level of play, Dick's Sporting Goods is your baseball headquarters. We have more of everything to elevate your game at incredibly low prices. More bats with extra power and torque. More low prices on gloves with better feel and consistency. Dick's has more cleats from the best brands like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, Reebok, and Mizuno. More protective gear, catcher's equipment, and batting gloves from the top brands. More training aids, apparel, and accessories at super low prices. See this week's ad for the best value on our largest baseball selection ever. If you buy baseball gear somewhere else, you'll pay too much. Every season starts at Dick's.
Family Physical Therapy knows everyone, regardless of their age or ability, has an oops once in a while. You might take a cheap shot in the back during district finals or have a knee or back blowing bad dunk in the backyard. It's your job to explain it to your friends. It's Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center's job to get you back into the game of life. Tell your doctor you want Family Physical Therapy to rehab you back.
It's finally here. The number one store for exclusive weight loss, sports nutrition, and vitamin supplements is Complete Nutrition. And now it's right here in Kearney, Nebraska. Do you want to lose weight, increase energy, and burn stubborn fat? Complete Nutrition can get you fast results. Do you want to pack on hard muscle, increase strength, and stamina? Complete Nutrition delivers hardcore gains. Do you want the healthiest, most effective organic herbs, vitamins, and healthy aging products? Complete Nutrition has the best products at the best prices. At Complete Nutrition, our focus is getting you the right products you need for the best results. It's time to look your best, feel your best, and complete your life with total health and nutrition for the complete you. Find Complete Nutrition just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue or call 338-1-FIT. That's 338-1348.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
First Saturday in May, only a few weeks away. The Run for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs.
It's at the top of the lane of the Derby.
It's the focal point of the sports world that day.
In front by an egg.
As the best three-year-olds battle it out in the first leg of horse racing's Triple Crown.
Gill's still got 10 or more to make
up. Talk about it beforehand.
Wins it by a length and three quarters.
Listen for the call May 1st, right here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460.
Then 12-1, wins it by a length and three quarters.
And 1550.
Sunny skies develop as we head through the day today with a high temperature up in the mid-70s. Southwest winds will also become gusty at times around 10 to 15 miles per hour. Skies then remain clear tonight with a low around 43. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, 52.
Kansas City at the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament, brought to you by the fine folks at Dynagrow. Congratulations on a great season to the Lady Huskers. And if you want to grow with the best, just like the Nebraska women's basketball team grew this year, because they had a little Dynagrow in their shoe, that's what happened. They were growing and growing and growing, and that's what they're doing at Dynagrow. When they step onto your farm, they're Dynagrow. They're dedicated to serving you and offering only the best seed for your farm, representing a national brand that focuses its research on your success. I am Dynagrow. You can call Dynagrow for more information and get your seed order in and get ready for 2010 at 800-652-9298. 800-652-9298. Talk to the fine folks at Dynagrow, growing in your field.
Just going to say, when Kelsey Griffin's knees were sore, that's right, she rubbed some yield guard on them.
There you go. Well, we are here because of the Nebraska women's basketball team, and they were eliminated last night, 76-67. Coach Connie Yorey after the ball game.
Well, I want to congratulate Kentucky. I thought they played really well, and you know, they came out and got us on our heels, and we just couldn't get back to who we were all season until, you know, the latter part of the game, and that's a credit to them. You know, I've said, and these guys have heard this probably 1,000 times this year, ever since we started our conditioning sessions, I said, guys, if we can rebound and we can compete on the boards, we can beat just about anybody. And tonight was an example of us not competing on the boards, and the loose balls and the rebounds went their way. And ultimately, that was the difference in the game. But congratulations to Kentucky.
Yep, that was the difference in the game, not getting rebounds. And it just seemed, it wasn't necessarily Nebraska getting a lot of second-chance opportunities. It was Kentucky getting second-chance opportunities. And again, it wasn't Kentucky getting second-chance opportunities and scoring on all of those. It was using the clock and getting more, and Nebraska getting more frustrated and having to press a little harder. And you could just see that building up. You could look at the sidelines and you could just see the eye roll, the chuckle, the laugh that you get from pain. I mean, that's what was going
on. The frustration.
It's just like, are you kidding me? How, you know, eventually can the ball bounce our way one time?
Well, and I think when all that's happening, and, you know, we've made it an hour here without bringing up how terrible the officiating was for both sides
last night.
No, it was absolutely one of the worst games officiated-wise ever in the history of the world. But both sides. I'm not saying it hurt Nebraska. I'm not saying it hurt Kentucky. It just poor all the way around. But, you know, it's one of those deals where not only the bounce is not going your way, you're saying, okay, just maybe if we just get a call to get us going, maybe just an off. And then it seemed like every one of those would go against you, and it's like, more frustration just mounted on top of it.
Well, Kelsey Griffin last night talked about what she said, what she thought went wrong with the Huskers, and echoed a little bit of what Coach Yorey said.
Well, you know, Coach said it. When we defensive rebound, we can be a really good team and compete with some of the best teams, and we struggled with that tonight. But you have to credit Kentucky. They knocked down shots. They shot really well. You know, I mean, kind of like Coach said, we were on our heels and we never really quite recovered from that. But, you know, I think how we lost the game in the last final minutes credits a lot to our character. You know, we never gave up. We came back, we fought, and it was a battle to the end.
And that was Kelsey Griffin. Of course, a little bit starting to be made up here, and of course, Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman brought it up as well, that Nebraska won everywhere but Kansas City this year. There are two losses coming at Kansas City in the semifinals of the Big 12 tournament at Municipal, and then, of course, last night at the Sprint Center. And Kelsey Griffin was asked some of the comparisons from last night's game to the game against Texas A&M, although two totally different styles.
You know, both teams pressure. They're both pressure teams. Both teams out-rebounded us. And we knew rebounding was going to be important and taking care of the ball was going to be important in the game. You look at what they did in the first half as far as what they were able to convert off of our turnovers and the steals. And, you know, that's what kind of gave them their lead. And then for us not being able to defensive rebound like we needed to, those battle of possessions is a huge thing in basketball, and it's hard to win a lot of games if you don't win the battle of possessions.
Exactly. Exactly. We've touched on it. They knew it. Nobody was surprised by anything that went on last night, Tony.
No, you know, I think especially after you finish your senior season and you're thrust up in front of the media on a stage and all these lights are on you and people are firing questions at you, I wish they had 10 minutes to sit there and just think before, because it's a hurried deal.
Well, they go to the locker room. It's emotional. You've been upset. Your season comes to an end. You had so many great seniors. They're crying. It doesn't matter if it's guys or gals. It's pretty much the same. And it was emotional last night. I wasn't sure a couple of them were going to get through it, but they did. And they took a little longer than normal to get into the post-game press conference, actually. But it was crushing, and of course, it was much happier on the Kentucky sidelines, and Coach Matt Mitchell, we've been talking about that quickness the whole time.
We have to play with quickness. We have to use the speed to our advantage, and I think the way it manifests itself tonight is very deep there into the second half. We were still quick inbounding the ball and running it back at Nebraska, and you can't do that if you're not in shape, so I thought the pace of the game was where we wanted it tonight, and it was a big advantage for us.
And again, Tony, I'm not going to say Nebraska wasn't in shape. I don't think that's the point here. That's not the style Nebraska plays. I think Nebraska was in shape for the style that they play, and Kentucky found a way. And again, and for the folks who don't know, Nebraska shot 60% in the first half last night. They were down 9 at the half. And it wasn't a huge statistical difference, because the turnover difference at half was 3, and I believe there were 6 more second-chance opportunities for Kentucky. But that was the 10 chances. The 10 points were off of 3 more turnovers that they had scored points off of, and 6, they had scored 4 points off those turnovers, more than Nebraska had, and 6 more second-chance points. That was the 10 points of the first half, and Nebraska was down by 9. They were 12 of 20 in the first half. Of course, Kentucky shot 57% in the first half, and both teams cooled off dramatically in the second half. For the Huskers, they shot just 38-39%, and for Kentucky, they shot about 44%.
Doug, you commented last night with about 8 minutes left in the first half. You said, they're on pace to score about 48 or 50 points here. Where's our defense at? That was your comment last night. And I think, you know, some of the things were turning fast break points. You know, that's why people shot, you know, what's Kentucky shoot the first half? 60%?
57.
So you look at, you know, a lot of those are fast break points and easy looks at baskets. And I think that's some of Nebraska always contested shots. Nebraska wanted to get up and down the floor. Nebraska's not afraid to run with people.
Well, this was their lowest output of the season.
But defensively, they want to play defense and contest shots, and Nebraska's defense has been one thing that's carried them in games this year.
I just think Corey Montgomery was totally taken out of her game by Victoria Dunlap last night. I think if you're looking at a key, and I'm not blaming a kid, I just think she lost her matchup last night. And Connie Yori, and we may get to that quote here a little bit later, she said, at every position, Kentucky was quicker. At every position, they were quicker than Nebraska. That's not necessarily a bad thing, because at most of the positions, Nebraska was probably a little more physical than Kentucky, and a little bit bigger than Kentucky was. So there you go. We are attempting to contact Michelle Volpel from ESPN.com. That may not be coming our way. Matt Coatney
is going to join us. I know that she was in between ESPN.com work and the press conference is getting underway, so we may get a chance before the show's over at 1 o'clock to talk with her and get her thoughts. She's really been writing a lot of stories on Nebraska in particular and their rise throughout the season and taking a look at what was going on here last night. But Oklahoma advances on. The Elite Eight is set, and there are two more games tonight that will be going on in the NCAA tournament. Baylor will take on Duke, and Xavier will take on Stanford. Then tomorrow, Florida State will take on Connecticut, and Kentucky will take on Oklahoma. Baylor and Duke. Duke got the better of Baylor in the men's game yesterday by the ball bouncing their way. There were some calls back and forth, an over and back that was called and didn't go. It seemed like Duke got a lot of the calls against Baylor down the stretch. Whether they were right or wrong, it just seemed that that's the way the ball went. And every time they got a second chance, they knocked down three. So the Baylor women will try for some redemption tomorrow night or tonight in Memphis. And Xavier will take on Stanford. I don't expect that to be much of a ball game. So, of course, go look up on Xavier. I do want to point out, though, that in my NCAA women's tournament bracket, I did have Baylor beating Tennessee, and I have them losing to Duke tonight. So we have to take a look at how our brackets are going in the NCAA Doug and Daddy Tournament Challenge, so we'll do that for you as well. But right now we're going to take a break. We've got a sportscast coming up here at the top of the hour, and then we'll be back with hour number two of the Doug and Daddy Show, live from the NCAA Regional Basketball Tournament, brought to you by Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center with excellence in rehabilitation. You can check them out online, familyptsc.com, or stop by and talk to a person at 211 West 33rd Street in Kearney. The number is 236-5884. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. It's the Doug and Daddy Show from the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament in Kansas City, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Mid-America Market Information.
Well, friends, after a very good week last week as far as selling meat is concerned, in fact, we had the beef choice carcasses up $6.05, selects up $5.33, and pork cuts, not following suit, they were down. That may turn around this week after a hog and pig report came out Friday from USDA. It surprised a lot of people. The average trade guessed that we'd be down 1% on hogs, we're down 3%. The trade was guessing us to be down 2.5% on breeding hogs. Big number here, friends, it's down 4%. Kept for marketing, down 3%. The trade was guessing it to be down 1%. So all told, we have a very bullish hog and pig report, and that'll help out the entire red meat industry to a certain extent. There isn't any doubt about that. Farrowing intentions are down 4% pretty much across the board December through May, and 2% June through August. So with that in mind, friends, we've got us at least a little bit of a bullish news on the livestock sector. Grain needs a little bit better shot, too. I'm Larry Steckwine.
All right, thank you, Larry. Giving you market update at this hour. Grains are higher right now, holding on to their gains. Corn is up 3 at 359 and a quarter from May. Soybeans have moved to even higher. It's up 23 and a half, now at 25 at 977 for May. Soybean meal's up 5 at 276 for May, and soybean oil is up 58 cents at 39.53 for May. Kansas City wheat up 3 and a quarter, 478 and 3 quarters for May. For July, it's up 2 and 3 quarters at 489 and a quarter. Moving over to the Mercantile Exchange. Take a look at the live cattle up $1.12 at $95.15 for April. Feeder cattle's up 90 cents at $108.10 for April. And lean hogs are showing strength today, up 182 at $71.50 for April. And limiting up right now up 3 at $79.55 for May. Switching to energy, crude oil is up $2.38 at $82.38 for May. For the Mid-America Ag Network, I'm John Runyon. It's a Gray Angus production sale Saturday, April 3rd at 1 o'clock Mountain Time in Mullen, Nebraska. Selling will be 120 lots of performance-bred yearling Angus bulls, Sons of Leading AI Series, Focus, Final Answer, Net Worth, 338, Image Maker, and more. Also selling 20 purebred commercial yearling heifers, free delivery within 200 miles, volume discounts, refund for taking bull home on sale day, first breeding season guaranteed. www.grayangus.com, a program with a purpose, a family with a commitment.
Hey folks, have you had a chance to see the Kraus Gladiator yet? Hey, the latest innovation in on-road tillage from Kraus that cuts residue, removes compaction, applies fertilizer, and forms a seed bed with a patented chain reel striker soil conditioner. It does it all, friends. Plus, the row unit requires no daily maintenance or tools to adjust. If you've been fighting issues within your current strip till operation, it's well worth your time to talk to your Kraus dealer or go to krausco.com.
and request a demonstration. You'll be glad you did.
It looks just like a credit card.
But it works just like a check. It's a debit card. When we use it, the money is automatically deducted from our checking account.
What about interest charges?
There aren't any.
And it's accepted everywhere?
Just like a credit card.
The debit card. It's today's way to have the convenience of a credit card without the interest charges. See us today. Minden Exchange Bank and Trust Company. Member FDIC. Community people you know.
This is continuing coverage of NCAA Championship Basketball. KXPN Kearney, KICS Hastings.
ESPN Superstation. Sports Center.
Good afternoon, I'm Mike Will, the Sports Center update on ESPN. Well, the season is over for the Nebraska women's basketball team. The Huskers lost to Kentucky 76-67 last night in the semifinals of the Kansas City Regional. The Wildcats opened the second half on an 11-1 run and led by as many as 19 points in the second half. Adia Mathis led Kentucky with 21 points. Victoria Dunlap, the SEC Player of the Year, had 18 points and 7 rebounds. Dominique Kelly had 22 points for Nebraska. Kelsey Griffin added 15 points and 12 rebounds. Griffin says the Huskers were not able to control the boards in this game.
When we defensive rebound, we can be a really good team and compete with some of the best teams, and we struggled with that tonight, but you have to credit Kentucky. They knocked down shots. They shot really well. We were on our heels, and we never really quite recovered from that. But in the last final minutes, credits a lot to our character. You know, we never gave up. We came back. We fought, and it was a battle to the end.
The Huskers finished the season at 32-2. Tom Lemke fired a complete game three-hit shutout to lead the Nebraska baseball team to a 10-0 win over 12th-ranked Oklahoma yesterday at Hawks Field in Lincoln. With the win, the Huskers avoid this sweep and improve to 12-11 overall. They're 2-4 in the Big 12 Conference. Nebraska will wrap up their seven-game homestand with a pair of games against North Dakota tomorrow night at 6:35 and Wednesday afternoon at 1:35. Byron Cliff scored 6 runs in the first inning and went on to beat the Hastings College baseball team 10-7 yesterday at Duncan Field. Hastings came back to win the second game by the score of 6-3. Jason Carr hit a couple of home runs to lead the 12th-ranked New Mexico Highlands Cowboys to a sweep of Nebraska Kearney yesterday, 11-5 and 7-5. The Cowboys took 3 of 4 games from the Lopers over the weekend. UNK is now 18-12 on the season. They are 7-8 in the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference. That's a sports update on Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation. I'm Mike Will.
If your faucets are starting to look like they are fresh off the Titanic, a new LDR kitchen or lavatory faucet will give your home that non-barnacle look. The stainless steel construction and easy do-it-yourself instructions ensure you will have a high-quality faucet working in no time. The modern design will complement contemporary kitchens, and the lifetime limited warranty complements your peace of mind. Head down to your local Hardware Hank and add LDR faucets to your home.
Welcome back to the Doug and Danny Show, live from the downtown Marriott in Kansas City, where the NCAA Regional Women's Basketball Tournament is going on, and they're down to the Elite Eight. And here in Kansas City tomorrow night, it'll be Oklahoma taking on Kentucky after the Wildcats upset last night of the Huskers. And again, don't confuse Kentucky's women's basketball program for their men's basketball program, because the women are still playing.
You know what? A lot of people thought at this time, a week ago, that there'd be one Kentucky team still playing and the other one's playing. So let's be honest.
I'd wish that that was the case as well. But let's talk a little bit about the men's tournament. We've got some other things to talk about. Matt Cotney is going to join us to talk about the Huskers. I mean, just watching him do the game last night, I can, from being there, no matter what it is, from the NBA to a D2 high school basketball game, when you're on the wrong side of something, I mean, you know in the back of your mind you can always get beat, but you're the favorite, you're supposed to win, you're hoping to win, so that everybody can go to that next step for the first time ever. The coaches, the players, the school, the fans, the media guys that have never been there before, and then just to see it slip away in front of your eyes, you just want to bang your head against the table going, why us, why us, why us? And it's just first time pain a little bit last night. But a little bit on the men's tournament, right?
You know, yeah.
Kentucky's out. Did I say no chance? What did you say to me last week?
You said no chance.
I said yes, no chance.
I'm still saying
what's
Butler.
What's your chance now?
I'm still saying zero. I'm still saying Butler with no chance, and they're favored over Michigan State. So
Butler is favored by a point and a half, and Duke is favored by 2.5 in their ball game with West Virginia, which I find astonishing. I would have thought West Virginia would have been favored in that ball game because people thought West Virginia should have been a number one and not Duke. So I think we're going to see two interesting games. Unfortunately, I think everybody believes that the Duke-West Virginia game is for the national championship. Butler is going to be on that Hoosiers road. That's what you're going to hear. Thank God it's not a two-week wait. But they're the underdog. Nobody's supposed to blah, 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 blah. 7 miles from campus, they'll be playing in the Final Four.
What 17 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's what it said. Yeah, 7 miles, 17 minutes. I went, huh? Really? In Nebraska, 7 miles, you can cover that in 5 minutes. As long as nobody's in your way.
Yeah, Bertrand Loomis.
So
no
there
problem.
You go. But your thoughts on what's transpired? Do you? Some people have got what they want. There's some Cinderella stories out there.
I'm wondering how they're going to transform Lucas Oil Stadium into that Hoosiers atmosphere when it's such a corporate event. Will those Butler fans find their way into that stadium? Will Indianapolis embrace Butler's team to an overwhelming? When Michigan State, let's be honest, it isn't exactly 2,000 miles away. They've got their share of people around there that cheer for the Spartans. They're going to bring their fan contingent as well. I'll be interested to see how bipartisan that really is. That's the one thing that stands out. Everybody thinks, oh, they're going to turn it into the field house.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's going to be this intense Hoosiers atmosphere. You know what? Congratulations, Butler. I personally wrote off just because I thought the athleticism was so far superior in favor of these other teams. Fundamentally, they do things correct. They play hard, start to finish. And when you get some bounces to go your way, they found themselves winning these games. Let's be honest. If Murray State was a bunch of bumbling bozos, they would have had a real opportunity to knock out Butler in round two. And then we'd be talking a whole different storyline.
Well, let's take a look at the Doug and Daddy Tournament Challenge, and I am surprised by how many on the front page still have Kansas winning the national championship. We actually have people that are currently tied for second that have Kansas to win the national championship. Obviously, not a good sign, but I guess if none of these teams pick up any points from here on out, you're going to have some people that pick Kansas to win the national title. They're going to pick up some prizes, but I don't know if they're going to win our 32-inch HD TV from Premier Rental and Purchase. And right now, R. Jancy, or Yancy, depending on which one it is the leader and has Duke to win the national championship. We also have D. Stromer, who has West Virginia to win the national championship. You've got J. Yancy, out of 550 people, the Yancy's looking good to get a TV, who has West Virginia to win the national championship. It's going to come down, it looks like, to those three, because I don't see anybody that has Michigan State or Butler. So the Yancy's and Stromers have a very good chance to win it all.
And they sit in that 90. That is pretty amazing when you're looking at overall things, how high these guys are.
I've moved up to 118th, by the way, which from whatever it was, 354th before the weekend. The must beat Big Daddy entry has 660 total points. And 118th place is what I am in.
Okay, and I need you to go to page two because I think I've got to be on page two. I think I've taken a commanding lead over you. I had to have with my bracket. But, Doug, a little bit of on the Duke-Baylor team. I know a lot of people watching that, and I heard it from media people down here yesterday watching that game saying Duke gets every call. And, you know, we heard from a buddy of ours back in Kearney about the, you know, Duke got every call. You know what? They made some breaks. Now, the technical deal, that was a whole other issue that you maybe only saw part of that equation. But nonetheless, Duke transforms basically a one-point deficit, and all of a sudden you turn around and they got a six-point lead rather quickly in about about 2 minutes of real time. And I'm just going to pull that one away. Duke can shoot the basketball. They're not going to shoot the basketball like West Virginia or especially like Kentucky did against West Virginia. That's what I meant to say there.
Let's go to Chris N. Carney, who you were speaking of. I mean, seriously, it's tough to beat 7-on-5. These guys will absolutely collect their paychecks and then go in and probably ask Coach K for an autograph. Chris N. Carney.
No, they separate the officials, Chris. I don't think they'll see Coach K.
I hope you bring up the phantom technical that was called and absolutely go nuts about it. I can't watch Duke games anymore because it's just amazing to me to see all the bleep.
A lot of anger. A lot of anger. I think a lot of people get that with...
Where's the end here?
What is your North Carolina? Whether you're Duke, you get that love-hate relationship.
One more. And where's the NCAA to step in and say, no, you guys are done, and go burn your uniforms because you will never, ever officiate a game again as long as you shall live? Speaking of Duke Baylor yesterday.
Well, the only number one seemed to be the weakest number one, and basically we thought that maybe they had the easiest way to the championship was the Duke bracket, and that is why they find themselves there. Duke, West Virginia, Kentucky, could you shoot the ball any worse than Kentucky did? Seriously, how bad? You couldn't get anything going inside. Three-pointers weren't falling. Just shot the ball terribly, and then West Virginia couldn't make anything from 2-point. Everything they do is from beyond the arc. Get a lead, and then they're able to hold on. West Virginia seems to be the team on the real roll right now, wouldn't you say, Doug?
Well, West Virginia looks good, but nobody's beating Duke, Tony. I mean, that's the bottom line. Nobody is beating Duke.
So
that's your love-hate New York Yankee, Dallas Cowboy type of deal, is that either you love them or you hate them.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're getting. And I just think West Virginia came in after winning the Big East, and you thought, well, they may be that team on the roll. Well, if they were going to win the Big East, then Georgetown's certainly going to hang around for a while. Well, they bow in the first round to Ohio. I mean, the deal really makes no sense. I think if you played this thing in tournament 10 times, you may have 10 different champions this year. And I said before the tournament started, I thought only about 5 or 6 teams could win this deal. And I'll still stand by it. I think only 2 teams have an opportunity. I think the championship is West Virginia Duke. I think those 2 teams, whoever can win that game, will win this title. But Butler surprises me there, 1.5-point favorite over Michigan State. I thought Michigan State, and I know they probably factored some home floor in there, but I thought Michigan State would be a 4, 5, 6-point favorite, just athletically more supreme to Butler Bulldogs.
Well, it is kind of a surprise. Is your entry called I Love Me? That's not the one you did, is it?
Oh, Douglas, I have to get on there and look.
I know. Well, we're going to see how far ahead I am of you here on the Doug and Daddy Tournament Challenge. Doug and Daddy Show live from Kansas City in the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament, proudly brought to you by Dyna-Gro. Congratulations on a great season to the Lady Huskers. Reminding you, as the Huskers did, grow with the best at Dyna-Gro. Call them at 800-652-9298, a national brand that focuses its research on your success. Dyna-Gro, 800-652-9298. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Nebraska and from Kentucky over last night's game. We'll tell you who's leading the Doug and Daddy tournament, because we haven't even done that yet. We just talked about who, between me and you. We talked a little bit about the Yonsies leading it there, and we'll talk more about the tournament bracket challenge and what else went on around the area this weekend with UNK, Hastings College, and the Huskers, including the baseball team that picked up a win yesterday. So all that and more coming up after this break.
The Second Amendment, one of the most threatened rights in our Constitution. At Old Market Firearms, we recognize the importance of the Second Amendment as essential to the Nebraska way of life. No matter what the season, Old Market Firearms is your source for all your sports shooting needs. In this uncertain political climate, their expert repair, service, and supply of handguns, shotguns, and rifles are a welcome reassurance. Old Market Firearms, 713 West 1st Street in Hastings. Old Market Firearms, right on target.
From my cold, dead hands. I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's the final week of the regular season for the Tri-City Storm, and on Friday night, they'll welcome in Des Moines. Saturday, they'll host Sioux Falls. Hear both games on Classic Hits 98.9. The UNK baseball team will be headed to Grand Junction, Colorado for a conference series with Mesa State, getting underway Thursday and running Friday and Saturday. The Hastings College baseball team will be in action on Tuesday when they take on York, and then this weekend they'll host Midland Lutheran on Friday and travel to Nebraska Wesleyan on Saturday. The Nebraska baseball team will wrap up their seven-game homestand hosting North Dakota Tuesday evening and Wednesday afternoon, then travel to Oklahoma State this weekend. The Loper softball team will host UNO Tuesday and travel to Regis Friday and Saturday. The Hastings College softball team will be welcoming in Dana Tuesday and Peru State Wednesday. The Husker softball team will host Drake Tuesday, South Dakota State Wednesday, and Texas A&M Friday and Saturday. And that's a Sports Minute.
Need tickets? Need to sell tickets? Or cars? Or stuff out of the basement or garage? Become a super fan and you can post them on free classifieds. Click on to find the deals too. ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Become a super fan today.
The sunshine continues this afternoon. Temperatures will climb to the mid-70s for highs with southwest winds gusty at times around 5 to 15 miles per hour. And skies will remain mostly clear tonight with a low of 43. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 64.
I'm a Capricorn, and Detroit City's where I was born. When I was young, I knew I'd always be.
The Doug and Daddy Show live from Kansas City of the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament as they get ready for the Elite Eight tomorrow night between Oklahoma and Kentucky. And our trip to Kansas City brought to you in part by Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. Visit them at familyptsc.com for excellence in rehabilitation. You can find out more at 236-5884. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center is located at 211 West 33rd Street in Kearney. And checking out the Doug and Daddy bracket, amazing. Daddy and I, official bracket, tied, and it comes down to this. I had Kansas State going to the Final Four, but it wouldn't have mattered. You have Duke winning the national championship, so Duke's point value for winning the national championship more than if Kansas State had got into the Final Four. So that really doesn't make any difference, but we are exactly tied. It would have made, I guess, a difference if Duke didn't make it into the finals, then I would have won the tie. But if Duke wins the national championship, you win it. If not, we're going to end up exactly tied, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, what a chance. That would have been a bet before.
Those early first-round games that we picked, one game makes the difference. Wonder who hosed me there. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. Hey, guys, I'm no Duke fan, but don't you think the Kentucky women were thinking the same thing about the officials last night?
No, absolutely. I think, especially the first half, I know that Coach Mitchell got a warning from the one lady official, and there was another time where he stomped his feet all the way down to the baseline on a block charge call that probably one of those deals a lot of times during the year, probably going to get a technical four. Probably had a little bit of leeway last night.
The one thing I noticed, Tony, and I know both coaches pointed it out a couple times, and I guess it's however you're taught, but when it comes to positioning and whose call is it, that seemed to be the big thing last night, that the play would happen in the paint and the guy or the gal out top would call the foul, or the play would happen on out top and somebody on the baseline would call it, or it was a fast break and the official that you thought would make the call didn't make the call. It was another official, and that really gets the ire of coaches when you think that you didn't get the call, but you also think that, hey, your vantage point wasn't any better than mine. What made you come to that decision when it clearly looked this way? And I think another thing last night that kind of hurt Nebraska on some of that, you know, when you're down by 16, Connie Yori's not going to get a lot of sympathy from the officials. You know, as an official, you're thinking, Coach, I know you're frustrated, but it's not my job to bail you out and give you calls.
Yeah.
Even though a ton of calls were made on Kentucky. What was it, 8-2 at one point in the first half, foul-wise, and then it was a lot more even. In fact, bing, 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 some early fouls called there in the first half on Nebraska, including the third one on Kelsey Griffin.
Yeah, Doug, and I think Connie Yori several times said, her exact words were, why didn't you make that call? You know, somebody, like you said, there was a travel. There was a travel in the second half, the hop. That was one that really bothered, I think, everybody because Nebraska got called for it. Nebraska got called for that out at the top of the key, and then they said, wait a minute, Kentucky just did that same thing. Why didn't you call the same thing you just called out there on the perimeter? And, you know, and then the one call that stands out to me was the over and back call made at half court where the girl looked to be dribbling the ball across half court and never really changed or slowed down or stopped direction, just went over half court and somehow she went over and back.
Well, and here's Kelsey Griffin talking about that early foul in the second half.
Well, as of late, I've been in foul trouble a lot, so I was just kind of used to it. But, you know, fouls happen. I have to be able to play through them. You know, in hindsight, probably should have taken the three instead of driving it all the way. But, you know, I try to stay aggressive. I don't think it really took me a lot out of the game because I had two more fouls I could potentially get. And, you know, we needed to stay aggressive in order to try to fight back into the game. So I don't think it really affected how I played too much.
A lot has been made of the poor second half start by the Huskers and Griffin on that.
I don't know. It was just kind of a fight throughout the whole game. You know, every time it seemed like we could kind of get a little break, they just, you know, hit a big shot or stole the ball. And so take, like, you know, Coach said, taking care of the ball and defensive rebounding was huge, and we just weren't quite able to capitalize on it as much as we needed to.
Also in the ball game, one of the things to look at was that Nebraska only had 1 point there in the first 5 minutes of the second half, didn't hit a field goal until about the 14:30 mark. When they hit a couple, it seemed like they hadn't scored for them. They hit a couple. All of a sudden, the lead's back down to 12, I think it was, and the fans get into it. And then Nebraska made a couple of stops and couldn't do anything. And then Kentucky, loose ball, turnover. The Huskers came down and had back-to-back turnovers and then gave up an offensive rebound on three straight trips. And there were so many times it seemed like, well, it's over. And then somehow Nebraska would get a little bit closer, get it to 7, even though it was under 4 minutes. It would have seemed like Kentucky would panic a little bit, but every time they needed something to happen positive, the Wildcats made it happen positive.
Yeah, you really see the leadership role come out in your final press conference when general questions are asked, and Kelsey Griffin took every one of them. I mean, really, Dominique Kelly and Corey Montgomery just basically sat, and they were asked individual questions, but when a general was asked, Kelsey Griffin took every one of them.
Yeah, she, and of course, being here the extra year because of the injury 2 years ago or last summer and having to sit out, and you know, she really has grown as a player here at the University of Nebraska. You're exactly right about that. And before they left last night, Kelsey was asked where she thought this senior class had brought the program, and Griffin gave quite a long little answer here to maybe how the season ends and where Nebraska basketball is now after this 32-2 season.
You know, the thing that hurts so much about losing this game isn't the game, it's the fact that I'm not going to get to go back and practice with these underclassmen and the rest of my seniors. As that being said, I think that we have helped Nebraska, put Nebraska on the map, and I'm so excited to see what the team is going to do next year. They're bringing in some great freshmen. The freshmen this year got great exposure. Everyone grew up a lot this year, and so I'm really excited to see where Nebraska is going to go, and I know it's only going to get better from here on out. Coach Orr is a great coach. She's obviously done great things with the program. One of the hardest working people I know, and it's been an honor playing for her. And I know there's only good things to come in the future for Nebraska.
Can they do what the baseball team did, Daddy? Once they got over the hump, can they keep it going for about 5 years here? And then we'll see what the next, what this next recruiting class, as that continues to build. But as I said, this is very important because I compare it to Missouri football after Chase Daniels left. Yeah, they were good, but they weren't bringing in recruits that two-year span where they still weren't good and they were sophomores and juniors. And I think that's where Nebraska is right now. This is 15, and they're 15 and 16. How many good recruits came in last year outside of Lindsey Moore? Great point guard coming in. But you're not going to get four or five kids every year that are, you know, All-American type players. Kelsey Griffin was just a diamond in the rough and a heck of a find.
Yeah, and that extra year too. So that's what makes it even more rare is to sit out with the foot injury and come back with this group of seniors. That you go back to what can this group do as far as recruiting for next year? Do they get those blue chippers, like Pam Ward said, that want to be on the floor, that are going to be difference makers their freshman and sophomore years? I'll be real interested to see if Connie Horry can't pick up one or two individuals that it makes an immediate impact, not only on the Nebraska women's basketball team, but on the Big 12 as a whole. You see Kentucky doing it in the SEC. Why not have Nebraska being able to do it with the Big 12 with taking this team to the Sweet 16?
And one more here from Bob in Minden, who says, as Tony isn't official, is he embarrassed by the lack of good calls being made in the tournament?
I've been ashamed at times.
Brad sends us this email. He says, Doug, West Virginia will play Butler in the championship with West Virginia as your national champion on the men's side. So keep firing those emails away. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can fire those off to us here at the Dent Popper inbox. And don't forget to see the gang at the Dent Popper for a free estimate. Hopefully the weather is going to be beautiful and you're starting to see what the winter has done to your vehicle. They'll give you a free estimate and get that baby fixed up before it gets too nice. And then you're gone all the time out with your vehicles and traveling.
Doug, they're chiming in on that men's deal again. Kentucky missed their first 23 pointers. 20. They missed 20 of them. The Division I basketball. They missed 20 freaking 3-pointers in a row.
Hey, all I know is Brent Heinrich says he was not at that game. He was not on the bench at that game.
4 of 32 and 12.5% 3-point range. That is a sick feeling. Especially when. Let's be honest. Wall, Cousins, Patterson, gone.
Well, that's too bad. That's too bad. Doug and Daddy show for the regionals NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament here in Kansas City, brought to you by Dynagrow, dedicated to serving you, offering only the best seed for your farm, where they represent a national brand that focuses its research on your success. They are Dynagrow. Call them today at 800-652-9298. Congratulations on a great season to the Huskers. Grow with the best, like the Huskers did at Dynagrow. Derek, we always like to make sure that he's awake back there.
I'm here.
I just want to make sure you're awake. How is your bracket doing?
Not good. All of my brackets.
Everybody's bracket stinks. Yeah. Now, I get that. I hate the people that go, how's your bracket doing? Well, how the hell you think it's doing?
Yeah,
Everybody had Kansas. Going into the weekend, I had a chance to have 3 of the Final 4. I thought that was outstanding. I got 2 of the Final 4. Anybody that can tell me they got 3 of the Final 4, A, they're a liar. And B, you didn't have it. I mean, nobody has Michigan 3 of the Final 4. Even if some reason you put Michigan State through, you don't have 3 of the Final 4. Nobody has 3 of the Final 4. If you do, congratulations, prove it.
You're that guy that
prove
said, I go to Ohio. Well, you had New Mexico State, too.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm not going to be displeased. It's just that the teams, I had Kansas to win it. If I had Duke to win it, I'd be looking really good. I'd have a chance to move way up the board here like you do.
That's what we're looking for all along, is this championship over you.
Yeah, well, for some, it's still going to make me ill to root for Bob Huggins, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. What else happened over the weekend? Because we're going to hear more here. Matt Cotney is going to join us in our next segment to talk about last night's game, the voice of the Husker women. But I don't want to overlook what else has happened this weekend. Tony, the Tri-City Storm has gotten themselves back into the playoff hunt. They are sitting in fourth. They went 1-1 over the weekend, and they lost a tight, tough one-goal game to Omaha on Friday. And then they won, had to come back and win against a not-good Lincoln team on Saturday. It was almost disaster, putting too much into the Omaha effort and then tripping up on Saturday. And Coach Drew Shenick, I think we're going to have him on the show maybe Wednesday, it looks like. We'll talk with him. But they've got two games coming up, Friday with Des Moines, Saturday with Sioux Falls. Those games are at the Event Center. And 7:05 here, my Classic Hits 98.9. And the Storm will be hosting a playoff rally and free ice skating party for fans Thursday night. For from 6:30 to 8:30. The event will kick off the hockey team's fan appreciation weekend as they get ready for those final two home games. You'll get to meet some players, take some photos. The players will be there signing autographs. There'll be some interviews done with the voice of the Storm, Skip Berry, talking to some of the players. And so as they are trying to make it into the playoffs, the rally is open to the public, free of charge. Come out. It's going on from 6:30 to 8. Bring the kids, photos, autographs, and get ready for Friday and Saturday night hockey. And we'll be giving you a chance to go with the ticket giveaways later this week here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So Storm won Saturday, and Sioux City lost, and so they're 1 point ahead of them in the playoff race. Now, again, Derek, do you know what happens if there's a tie?
Sioux City does own the tiebreaker over us, guys, so if there is a tie.
Or head-to-head, is it just straight head-to-head wins?
Yeah, it is. It's a head-to-head deal that they decide the tiebreaker on, and Sioux City does own a tiebreaker over us, so they, in the event of a tie, they would be in the playoffs, we would not.
And again, that could happen with the Storm losing an overtime game. That's all that could happen right now for a one-point deal. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. If they would win this Friday, they would pretty much have a stranglehold on that last spot, especially if Sioux City would lose there. Then I think they'd be in because they'd be 3 points up. Sioux City would be three back with one each to play there. So a big win on Friday would be good. But I tell you what, guys, Jaden Schwartz netted two power play goals in that win over Lincoln on Saturday, and he'd been kind of in a slump. He hadn't had a point for a few games in there, but him coming on late would be really good if he could net a few goals, get some assists here in these last couple of games.
Hey, Derek, I know that the Storm ended up 6-1 versus Lincoln on the regular season, and so you think, well, it was an easy game. That was a season finale for the Stars. Sold out icebox, 4,687 people, I believe. So a good win, nonetheless, on the road.
Absolutely. They went down 2-0 in that game, guys. I was listening in, and I thought, oh, man, we're down 2-0. It's going to be tough to dig out. But the guys came back. They won the game. And it's games like that where you can come from behind late, especially this close to playoff time, that you can really use that momentum and move forward.
Well, so that's where the Storm are. The UNK baseball team went 1-3 over the weekend against New Mexico Highlands, who's ranked 12th in the country. They split the games on Friday. The weather didn't allow them to play Saturday, and then they lost 11-5 and 7-5 yesterday. They're now 18-12 overall, 7-8 in the conference. They head to Mesa Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with Easter coming up Sunday. You're going to see a lot of that with all of the teams playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The Hastings College baseball team split with Briar Cliff yesterday, lost the first one 10-7, won the second one 6-3. They will host York tomorrow. And Tom Lemke goes the distance, which because of the mercy rule in the Big 12 is just 7 innings. He threw a 7-inning, 3-hit shutout as Nebraska salvaged the final game of their baseball series with Oklahoma 10-0. Big Red now 12-11 overall, 2-4 in the conference. And so the Huskers are 2-0 on Sunday, Tony.
Excuse me.
They're not 2-0 on Sunday. They won the Saturday game against Texas. So they're 2-4. And in all the series, they've had two. Well, that was a blowout, then there was a close one, and then they got blown out. And that's kind of what has happened here. And they will host North Dakota State Tuesday night and Wednesday, and the weather is going to be beautiful. So get out and catch the baseball. And the main story, though, is they lose Josh Shepherd, who is a young man that had really come out and was actually hitting the ball well and had hit some home runs. And
yeah, three home runs, 19 RBIs on the season, breaks his hand, gone for the year, freshman out of Lincoln Southeast. That's going to hurt them. Basically, this weekend, Doug, you throw out the game on Friday night. Saturday comes down to you leave 13 people on base, had the bases loaded three times, less than two outs, get nobody in. Yesterday, basically drove them all in. So I guess the law of averages kind of equaled out, and they were able to salvage one win. That's not going to do it. This week, Frank Anderson in Oklahoma State, we will effort Frank to have him on later in the week, and hopefully the Huskers can start looking to get series wins. And it's tough to get serious wins when you drop the first two.
Well, yeah, let's take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show and get back to the tournament at hand, the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. We'll be joined by Matt Cotney from the Huskers in just a moment. Two other notes, though, before we completely wrap up the kind of the local section here. The Nebraska football team back on the practice field for their fourth spring workout this afternoon. The UNK golf team is competing in the 10-team Wayne State invite, and the men setting in first place with four of their golfers in the top 10, including Devin Kassler of
Ord
and Chris Kelzer of Wood River, both shooting 72, tied for first individually. The women set in fifth at that Wayne State invite, and there is a new athletic director named at at Hastings College. Ian Roberts, who's been there for a long time, has had something to do with Hastings all the way back since 1976. He's currently the Associate Vice President for Administration. He's been a football coach on the assistant side. He's a member of the Hastings College Hall of Fame, and he will take over for Fran Hummel, who retires at the end of this season. So looking forward to working with Ian, and congratulations on getting that job. And we understand as well, we're getting closer to seeing maybe a new women's basketball coach named at the University of Nebraska at Kearney.
Yeah, from what we understand, that list is three. Now, we've not been told who is on that list of three, but it has been narrowed to that many contenders for that job. And hopefully that will be taken care of shortly. So we'll see who turns up there. Have heard rumors that there is one former player on that, but cannot confirm those. That's all we know at this point.
So we'll take a break, and as soon as we know more on that, we'll let you know. Matt Cotney, voice of the Husker women, is scheduled to join us when we come back live from Kansas City in the NCAA basketball tournament, brought to you by our friends at Dyna-Grow. Grow with the best, Dyna-Grow.
The Huskers are back in 2010 with a top 10 start dancing in their heads. Will they get there? Find out. John Callahan's report from the Big Red Spring practices coming up next.
The kids want to go out to play, the dog wants to run around the yard, and you want a beautiful-looking lawn. We're BioGreen, and you should get to know us for residential and commercial lawn service. At BioGreen, we use all-natural products so we can treat your yard, and you can enjoy it right away. Fertilization, landscape nutrition, let BioGreen spray, and you can play. Ask us about weed control. Call 308-708-1747 or log on to BioGreen.com. Serving the Tri-City area, we're BioGreen. Get to know us.
That's the sound of power, the power to get things done. We're Groney's Outdoor Power Center.
There's a revolutionary new mower from Honda. It's called the HRX. It has cruise control, micro-cut twin blades, and a body that's virtually indestructible. With a flip of a handle, Honda's exclusive Versamo system allows you to mulch, bag, or discharge clippings with no attachments required. The Honda HRX. This changes everything.
Call 308-384-5168. Groney's Outdoor Power Center in Grand Island.
With today's Husker Radio Report, I'm Sean Callahan of HuskersIllustrated.com. Even though senior quarterback Zach Lee can't take part of spring football physically, there's still quite a bit he can do over the next few weeks to get better at. And you offensive coordinator Sean Watson talked about what his expectations are for Lee this spring.
He needs to learn the game mentally, number one, and he needs to take advantage of the opportunity, that studying the game. And then secondly, he's getting some footwork stuff done so we can do some things with him physically.
Meanwhile, on the field, the Huskers strapped on the pads for the first time over the weekend, and no player on the team may have been more excited for this moment than sophomore linebacker Eric Martin.
Today was a lot of wolfing around on the offensive side of football, so when we get out there tomorrow and we get the pads on, we'll see who comes, who brings it in, who don't. I mean, that's when the skirts lift up. So
Huskers are scheduled to take the field for spring practice number four later today at 3:40. Reporting with the Nebraska football team in Lincoln, I'm Sean Callahan of HuskersIllustrated.com.
Listen for Sean Callahan twice every day on ESPN Radio 1460 and 1550. 7:51 in the morning, 12:21 every afternoon. Direct from spring practice in Lincoln through the red and white game. The great golf season kickoff sale is on in the Pro Shop at Indian Head. You'll find hats, shoes, and other apparel discounted. If you want extra markdowns, get in quickly and see the clearance items that have to go to make room for the 2010 merchandise. Central Nebraska's only GPS-equipped golf course is Indian Head. Log on to IndianHeadGolf.com or call 308-381-4653.
March Madness all month long at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney. All month long, stop by and fill out your brackets for free and then earn points. Trade those points in for multiple prizes. Also during March Madness, participate in the Madness Pick'em Championship game and have a chance to win the grand prize. Don't forget they have the coldest beers in town and plenty of TVs to watch every single game. NCAA Tournament, March Madness all month long at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, Kearney.
Family Physical Therapy knows everyone, regardless of their age or ability, has an oops once in a while. You might take a cheap shot in the back during district finals or have a knee or back blowing bad dunk in the backyard. It's your job to explain it to your friends. It's Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center's job to get you back into the game of life. Tell your doctor you want Family Physical Therapy to rehab you back.
Play ball! From second, Kiasco backhands. It pops out of his glove.
That's going to get off the monster out there.
Baseball's America's pastime.
Goes off first, pitch is high.
I just think about baseball.
Throw from Veritek, very high.
This one's going out of park.
Kiasco is on his way to third. He has an RBI triple.
And I love baseball.
I love baseball.
Goes into center field. The Royals will score another run.
The Kansas City Royals back again in 2010 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550.
As sunshine continues this afternoon, temperatures will climb to the mid-70s for highs with southwest winds gusty at times around 5 to 15 miles per hour. Then skies will remain mostly clear tonight with a low of 43. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 64.
The Doug and Daddy Show, live from the NCAA Regional Women's Basketball Tournament in Kansas City. As we are on the off day tomorrow, the championship game of the regional as Oklahoma takes on Kentucky, unfortunately, as we've said so many times on this program, and brought to you today from Kansas City by Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. You can visit them online at familyptsc.com for excellence in rehabilitation. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, located at 211 West 33rd Street in Kearney. Well, Doug Duda, Big Daddy Tony Davis with you, and we'll be here again tomorrow as we continue our coverage of the NCAA tournament. Again, Daddy, let's say it. We rolled the dice, and it didn't come up a winner last night. We were hoping Nebraska would be here and playing for that trip to the Final Four, as every Husker fan was last night, and it didn't happen. And we've had Matt Coatney, the voice of the Huskers, on quite a few times this year, and we sure appreciate that. And they're just getting back into Lincoln. Matt, I know you guys were looking to stay an extra couple nights as well. Has the sting wore off from watching that game last night?
You know, I was just talking to my broadcast partner, Jeff Grish, about that. We kind of think the day after a loss is sometimes a little worse than right after, because you get a little melancholy and you kind of get reflective immediately after the game. And then, you know, after a couple hours sleep, you get up, you start looking at it. So I don't know if there's a sting of it, but, you know, certainly a great season for Nebraska, no matter how you look at it. I mean, my goodness, 32-2 in the first Sweet 16 in school history, so it was just a magical season.
Matt, was it all Kentucky last night in their quickness? Is that the whole story, and give them all the credit in the world?
Well, I think you absolutely have to credit Kentucky. I do think, though, from the Nebraska end, rebounding was a major, major problem. You know, Kentucky had 25 rebounds in the second half. Nebraska had 25 rebounds for the game. And I think if you're going to look at any number of stats for the ball game, that's where I think you need to start, is looking at what Nebraska could have improved on to possibly change the outcome of the game.
Matt Coatney, the voice of the Husker women, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from Kansas City. Matt, was there anything you saw last night that you hadn't seen all year from this Nebraska team?
Oh, not really. I mean, I think that, you know, it was one of the few games that Nebraska had where, you know, one portion of the game wasn't functioning and something else picked up. And it's very rare that the Huskers went a whole game and just really didn't rebound that well. You know, they didn't get a lot of shots either. You know, if you don't get shots, it's hard to make shots. And I don't think I'd seen that the rest of the year, to where the Huskers struggled just to get opportunities to put the ball in the hole. You know, in the Big 12 tournament game against Kansas State, they missed 23 pointers, but they did get 21 attempts. So, and that's probably the one thing last night I think I'd say that we hadn't seen all season.
Matt, it just seemed to me there'd be just a lack of emotion throughout most of the game and kind of people waiting for something good to happen. Is that the way you saw it?
You mean from the team or do you mean from the fans?
No, from the team. I think when the fans got into it later in the game, I think that helped a little bit. But I think the team really just seemed to wait for something good to happen instead of making something good happen.
Well, I do think, you know, what Nebraska did is they didn't want to come out and attack early because of the way that Kentucky likes to play. That probably would have gotten Nebraska in even a bigger hole. But, you know, once they did kind of change their focus on going to more of an attack mode, you know, things started happening a little bit better. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, the words would be, you know, emotion lacking, but I think that in terms of how they approach the ball game, that certainly changed a little bit midway through the second half.
Matt Cotney joins us, the voice of the Husker women here on the Doug and Daddy Show from Kansas City. Matt, you take a look at that ball game last night, you take a look at the stat line, there weren't a lot of so-called role players that really stepped up and did anything on either side. Maybe Kentucky with Lydia Watkins stepped up and did a little bit there, and Imani Franklin got a few more rebounds. But Nebraska seemed to have, you know, it was Neek and Kelsey and Corey and Lindsay, and everybody else was pretty quiet last night, which there always seems to be one of the role players coming in and complements the rest of the team very well. That didn't really seem to happen last night.
They got some good minutes from Catherine Redmond, and I don't know who was keeping stats last night. She clearly had two blocks that were not credited to her. But, yeah, it was a type of game. You know, Kentucky with the type of athletes they had. Connie Urie was quoted after the game saying they were, you know, they got out quick. If they weren't out quick at every position, you know, it was even at every position. So, yeah, it was a tough game for players like Elaine Reeves or Kayla Coleman or Nicole Neals to play in just because of the type of defense that Kentucky had. And I also thought it's very hard for Nebraska to get a win if they don't get more production out of Vonnie Turner. Not necessarily on the offensive end, but on the defensive end where she wasn't completely in her game. So it wasn't Kentucky does not lend itself to being a great game for role players. Yeah, I certainly would say that.
Well, we talk about this so often. Unless you win whatever tournament it is, you're going to go out with a loss, and then you always try to break down the loss, and I don't want this to keep being a negative thing. I know that you had a chance to say a few words to Coach Urie off the air when they were getting ready to leave the arena. Can you share with us maybe something that she said that wasn't officially on the record about the season or how things went last night?
You know, I ran down the tunnel, and my first chance to see Connie after she was finished with all of her official duties, and I gave her a big hug, and I said, hey, you've done a great job this year, and I said, this was a spectacular year, and, you know, she said to me, you know, that would have been a great game to get, but she goes, you know, how about that? We made it to the Sweet 16, and I think I think Connie really kept everything in perspective really well this year, and I think, you know, her words to me immediately after the ball game was, you know, let's really recognize what we did accomplish here this year. I think Connie was very proud of her team, especially after the ball game. Obviously disappointed in the loss, but you know, her words to me were, you know, this really was a lot of fun this year.
Matt, everybody's so fired up right now, wondering what this has done to jumpstart Nebraska as far as recruiting and the types of players. Is there any word out there that the kids and the interest picking up with the program?
Yeah, I think so, and you know, it's not really anything the coaches can talk about, but, you know, for example, Connie told me there's a player that, you know, that hasn't really even been on Nebraska's radar that contacted the Nebraska coaching staff, you know, to say that, you know, they're very interested in Nebraska, and that's a, you know, pretty high-level recruit. So, you know, I think any time that you've had an undefeated regular season, a conference title, a number one seed in the Big 12 tournament, obviously that's going to impact your recruiting. Year two, year three. You know, I've seen some teams, it's had a pretty big effect for 3, 4, 5 years down the road. Coaches can't talk about that, you know, in terms of names or specifics, but they've all told me it's had a big help.
Well, Matt, everybody wants to know, was this a blip on the radar, or what kind of a team is the Huskers going to have next year? Fans got interested, but you know how fans are. They'll follow the winner, and if they're not doing what they have been doing, you never know. So what are your thoughts, early thoughts, about going forward here?
Well, I didn't think we'd go 30-0 to start the season this year, so I'm going to go on record again and saying I don't think we're going to go 30-0 next year to start things off. But, you know, Kelsey Griffin is leaving, and so are five other seniors. So it's going to be a different team, but Jordan Hooper from Alliance is going to be here. That's a Nebraska State High School Player of the Year. And then Becca Woodbury out of Phoenix, the largest class in Arizona State Player of the Year. that's going to be potentially four state high school players of the year in the starting lineup next year, along with Dominique Kelly and Lindsay Moore. And then you put in Catherine Redmond, who was a starter last year. That's not a bad starting lineup to start. So, you know, I don't think Nebraska is going to be picked as a candidate to win the Big 12 title. Then again, they weren't this year. They were picked sixth. You know, I think Nebraska is going to be fine next year, but I don't think anybody should expect a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, though.
Oklahoma and Kentucky play tomorrow night. You saw both games last night. What's your thought?
Well, Oklahoma had to go overtime, and I think Oklahoma has some real depth problems this year with the injuries to Whitney Hand. Daniel Robinson is a very speedy guard who, if there's anyone can handle Kentucky's high-octane pressure, would be Daniel Robinson. I wonder how Victoria Dunlap's ankle is that she tweaked again last night. That's the second time in two games she's tweaked it. Imani Franklin's leg looked like it was going to fall off last night, so I don't know if she's 100%. I think it'll be a great game. I do know Oklahoma and their coaching staff has a lot of experience in the Elite Eight. They've been there twice before, and they've made the Final Four both times. So, I mean, I'm going to be cheering for the Big 12 tonight. I think it'll be great if Oklahoma got in there. I've got Oklahoma by 8 points tonight.
Matt, always appreciate the time. Let's not wait till the basketball season starts next year to get caught up. I know Jeff's with you. Thanks to both of you for all you've done for the Doug and Daddy Show and the great job in covering the Husker women. And Big Daddy's got a lot of open tabs throughout Lincoln, so if you find one, get a good steak, okay?
that sounds like a plan. And thanks to you guys for all the coverage that you guys have given us this year. It's just been great, and would love to be on your show anytime.
Sounds good, Matt. Thanks so much. Take care. Matt Coatney, the voice of the Huskers basketball team, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The NCAA regional tournament does continue tomorrow. The Elite Eight is out there. Oklahoma will be taking on Kentucky. So he does like Oklahoma, which I guess I'm a little bit surprised. I think
I thought after he said the lack of depth, they don't have much depth, I thought he was going to go the other way. But
it'll. I don't know. I don't know. After watching both games, of course, I'm still a little stunned about what happened to Nebraska.
You can't stop Elijah one inside. They get her the
but
ball.
But you got to get her the ball.
Yeah, I understand that.
You got to get her the ball. And you know what? You know, she takes a lot of shots. She had a great game last night with 21 points. So let's take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, oh, another special guest. Daddy's been reeling them in. We'll be right back.
ESPN SportsCenter. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, the SportsCenter update on ESPN. Well, the season is over for the Nebraska women's basketball team. The Huskers lost to Kentucky 76-67 last night in the semifinals of the Kansas City Regional. Adia Mathis led Kentucky with 21 points. Victoria Dunlap, the SEC Player of the Year, had 18 points and 7 rebounds. Dominique Kelly had 22 for Nebraska. Kelsey Griffin added 15 points and 12 rebounds. The Huskers end the season at 32-2. Tom Lemke fired a complete game 3-hit shutout to lead the Nebraska baseball team to a 10-0 win over 12th-ranked Oklahoma yesterday at Hawks Field in Lincoln. With the win, the Huskers avoid this sweep and improve to 12-11 overall, 2-4 in the Big 12 Conference. Nebraska will wrap up their 7-game homestand with a pair of games against North Dakota tomorrow night at 6:35 and Wednesday afternoon at 1:35. Briar Cliff scored 6 runs in the first inning and went on to beat the Hastings College baseball team 10-7 yesterday at Duncan Field. Jeff Burks was the losing pitcher. He went 5 innings and gave up 10 runs and 7 hits. Burks walked 5 and struck out 3. Hastings head coach Jim Bovey says Burks settled down after a shaky start in this one.
He has a little pattern of that, but we can't afford to have that, you know, that kind of start against, you know, they're a pretty decent team. Their position lineup is really good, I think, and you know, they're going to take advantage of the runners. They, you know, last year I thought they were probably the best situational hitting team we faced, and when they got runners on, they moved them around and got them in.
A.J. Clark, Blake Marquardt, Zach Nelson, and Mac Land had 2 hits apiece for the Broncos. Hastings came back to win the second game by the score of 6-3. A.J. Clark went 6 3rd innings and allowed just 7 hits and 3 runs. Clark struck out 12 and walked his 3 batters. Bovey says it was good outing.
You know, I wrestle with throwing him the last game of the weekend, but that's what he likes to do because he plays third for us the rest of the time, and he really doesn't want to pitch early in the weekend and then try to play third. So, you know, not many people are bringing a guy that quality on your last start. Now, if we have a pattern of 1-3, 1-3, 1-3 with his starts, we can't afford to keep doing that. But he gave us what we needed. We just need to get through the first inning or two without being scored on. And so when he wiggled out of the first inning, you could feel our confidence start to grow.
Mac Land picked up the save. Land also had two hits in the ball game and scored twice. Hastings is now 8-14 in the season. They are 1-3 in the Great Plains Athletic Conference. They'll play host to York College tomorrow night beginning at 6 o'clock. And 1230 KHIS will broadcast beginning with a pregame show at 5:45. Jason Carr hit two home runs to lead 12th-ranked New Mexico Highlands to a sweep of Nebraska Kearney yesterday. 11-5 and 7-5, the Cowboys took 3 out of 4 games from the Lopers over the weekend. UNK is now 18-12 overall. They're 7-8 in the RMAC. And Jaden Schwartz scored 2 power play goals to lead the Tri-City Storm to a 4-3 win over the Lincoln Stars on Saturday. The Storm will play host at Des Moines on Friday and Sioux City on Saturday. That's a sports update. I'm Mike Will.
Can you think of a better place to be than Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska on a college football Saturday?
3 Husker teams will play 3 Husker sports on April 17th. So join us on the road to Lincoln.
Holy moly!
The day starts with the red and white spring game. Then Husker baseball versus Kansas, followed by volleyball against Illinois.
Holy cow!
We'll take a luxury motor coach round trip with continental breakfast on the way and a tailgate lunch before football. All tickets are included in the $89 price.
I wish everybody had the opportunity just to buckle it up one time and see what it feels like to wear that N on the side of your helmet. Because I tell you what, when you got that helmet on, you don't feel like there's anything that you can't accomplish.
To reserve your seat, call First Holiday Tour and Travel at 308-384-1800 or 800-652-1950. Log on to ESPNSuperstation.com. Brought to you by Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation, 1460 and 1550.
Back at the downtown Marriott, the people here, Tony, outstanding and helping
doing a fine job.
Daddy show today. Want to give them a big thumbs up. We'll be back here again tomorrow as the NCAA Regional Women's Basketball Tournament continues. Oklahoma and Kentucky will do battle tomorrow night for the championship. And want to tell all the fine folks that the game, again, will be on ESPN, and the top analyst in the country joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We tripped her on the way through. Good job, Daddy.
Well, I'm a very fleet of foot. I just get it out there far enough, and she fell right into basically our lap here.
I bet I missed 2 good-looking guys.
Oh, good Lord. Deb Antonelli. How late did she stay out last night?
She was out late. She was really not feeling well this morning.
Well, we got to start the show talking with Pam Ward, and, of course, Deb doing the game with her last night and has seen more live college basketball than anybody in the country probably this year. And Deb, thanks first off for joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Secondly, the thing I asked Pam right away was, when the game was over, what was the one thing that stood out in your mind from Kentucky-Nebraska?
Kentucky speed. To me, their speed, their ability to be quicker to the basketball all over the floor, whether it was rebounding, loose ball, the way they, you know, one pass away, up the line. I just thought they were quicker. We knew they were small. We knew they had great athletic lift. I didn't think offensively they were going to show up as consistently as they did for 40 minutes. That, I think, was a huge difference also in the game.
Deb, after the game, Connie Yorey very disappointed the inside game was not taken advantage of, something Nebraska had a clear advantage. You could see that size-wise. In your mind, why couldn't they get the ball inside?
Well, I kept questioning that on the air. You know, if you're going to go down, you got to have touches through Kelsey. You got to play through Kelsey Griffin. I think Kentucky's ball pressure was so great that sometimes it takes vision away to the post. I think that was a factor, potentially. I think over the course of the 40 minutes that the consistent harassing, menacing pressure in your face just, you know, you start paying attention to just taking care of the ball and forgetting about what you're trying to run. I thought Nebraska's execution, I expected it to be a little bit sharper, a little bit crisper than what it was. I've certainly seen them play a lot better than last night.
You know, I thought there were 2 or 3 times I specifically recall in that second half where Kelsey got the ball and instead of moving, you know, got rid of it. A very, very,
right,
something very uncharacteristic of her game.
Actually, you're right. One point in the game, I said Kelsey didn't even look at the basket when she caught the ball. I just think they lost their swagger for a period of time. And, you know, even though Nebraska only turned it over 5 times in the second half, it appears that it was more than that. they were so out of rhythm and uncomfortable in their offense, and that's what Kentucky's defense is designed to do. So they definitely had the dominant factor there.
Neither one of these teams are supposed to be here at the beginning of the year. And I think, again, we've mentioned it time and time again, it's hard for the Nebraska folks to get over the fact that Kentucky has made even bigger strides than Nebraska did just the third year for Coach Mitchell.
Well, I don't know if you want to say it's bigger strides. You just think that the matchup happens to be at the wrong time for Nebraska. You know, Kentucky is now one of the hotter teams coming off the SEC tournament, the way they played in the loss to Tennessee, the way they played late, the way they have been able to overcome their lack of size with their quickness and their speed, showing that that still matters in the women's game. Nebraska, still one of the best stories in all of college basketball. And I'm not just talking about the women. I'm talking about the whole landscape of college basketball. And the way the Nebraska fans and Nebraska, you know, nation rallied around this team, you could exponentially see it grow and develop as the season wore on. It's truly a testament to those kids, how hard they play, what great young ladies they are, the class, not senior class, the class that they exhibit. And Connie should get all the credit for that, for putting all those pieces together.
Deb, where do you see Kelsey in the WNBA? Does she fit right in at the top of that group?
I think so, but, you know, the thing that I saw last night is she somewhat got exposed to her lack of ability to finish with her left hand, maybe not consistently knocking down the high post shot or looking to take it. You know, we've also always known Kelsey's good over her left shoulder, great off the bounce, getting to the rim. I thought maybe some of that lack of a complete skill set may have been, exposed a little bit. I think that because she works harder than most people and that she has this tremendous will about her that matches a skill set that is emerging, I think those combinations make her a terrific draft pick, and I definitely think she'll be in the first round, and I think she'll go pretty high.
Deb Antonelli from ESPN joins us for just another minute. Let's preview tomorrow night's game. We've been talking that Oklahoma wants to get it inside even more than Nebraska would have last night. Neither team seemed to have a lot of depth. How are you going to break down the game for tomorrow?
Well, Abby Olajuwon, I think, is key. You know, not many times you start the scout about Oklahoma talking about Abby, but her improvement has been dramatic. And Sherry Cole will tell you, as a teacher, all she's done is get her ready all 3 years and just keep working and teaching. I also think Danielle Robinson is a huge key. She's got to take care of the ball. She has over 140 turnovers this year, but she's shown a resolve to move on to the next play. You're going to turn it over against Kentucky. It's just where you turn it over. And if you don't turn it over in the midcourt or, you know, in the backcourt, you can set your defense and have a chance. If Danielle Robinson can take care of the ball and get them in their sets, I think Oklahoma has a chance to win.
Deb, the big landscape, everybody playing for second. That's the mantra.
Yeah, I think we'll find out tonight, because I think tonight's a very interesting night with Baylor playing Duke. If Baylor wins, I think I'm so interested in seeing Baylor match up against Connecticut. I want to see what Tina Charles does with Brittany Griner and what Connecticut does in trying to deal with Griner. I think that's an interesting determining factor. I'm not saying that Connecticut won't win it. I'm just saying I want to see that matchup. Connecticut's clearly the best team, plays harder than everybody else, and has the most complete package.
Brittany Griner coming along so far. The punch in the face, emotions run high. The women, people look at that and go, ooh, was that a black eye for the women's game? Or what were your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it was awful. We don't want to ever see that happen again. I don't think Brittany wants it to happen again. Certainly Coach Mulkey doesn't. In terms of the amount of suspension, that seems to be a big question mark. You know, one game by rule, extra game that Coach Mulkey added. As a parent, I never criticize another parent with how they discipline their children, so I'm not going to, you know, say whether I think that's enough or not. We don't know yet. We'll wait and see. We have to wait and see how Brittany responds. Brittany Griner, the whole deal brings more eyes to our game just because she's unique. We've never had anybody at 6'8 that runs the floor and is as athletic as she is with that kind of size. We've had tall players in the game, but not as athletic as she is. So I think she's a unique fixture in our game, and I think people are drawn to it because she's different.
When does the streak end for Connecticut?
Oh, gosh. I don't know, but, you know, when you think about here's the thing that I want to ask you guys, and I think you're too young to probably remember. But when UCLA was going through their run with John Wooden, there were other good basketball programs. There were other basketball programs that could play. This was just an exceptional era inside the men's game where they dominated. Okay, our game, I think, is similar. Connecticut's clearly the most dominant team, but there are other good basketball programs. Are you going to tell me that Nebraska or Baylor or Kentucky are not good basketball programs? They are. The matchup with Connecticut is unique right now. So I'm hoping that, there's a little bit more competitiveness to it than what we've seen. But like we saw the Kentucky men, all of a sudden everyone thought they were going to win the national championship, and they went cold. Well, it could happen. I don't think it will, but it could.
Not this season, anyway. You know, the last question before we let you go. Gino and Pat, what's the real story? Let's get it out there on the Doug and Daddy show.
Oh, gosh. They are at the highest level, the most competitive human beings you've ever been around. And there was a squabble over some recruiting issues. And, you know, there's different camps that believe that, you know, that they're not going to play each other for a setup, you know, to grow the game. There's it makes it unique when they do meet. They just don't like each other. That's just the way it is.
That's okay. We need a little of that. We need a little.
I don't know if you guys like
there.
Each other either.
No,
I can't really tell by watching you.
No, my wife doesn't like me most of the time. That's the way it goes.
Deb, we'll let you get out of here. I sure appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we sure enjoy listening to you and Pam and everybody that does Ball at ESPN.
Well, Pam is an absolutely perfect partner to work with on the air, and thank you guys for what you're doing for the women's game and helping the game continue to grow in your area and across the region.
Well, hopefully the Huskers can keep things going, too.
They will.
And hopefully you see better officiating.
Daddy, come on. Deb Antonelli from ESPN joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got one final break. Let's take it, and we'll be back after this.
Mid-America Market Information.
For the Mid-America Ag Network, I'm John Runyon. Here's a look at your market update at this hour. Grains are trying to hold on to their gains in the corn and Kansas City wheat sector. Soybeans have taken off today. Corn is up 1.5 at 357 and 3/4 for May. Soybeans are up 16 and a quarter at 968 and a quarter for May. But the high earlier this morning, though, was 977, so it has pulled back some after hitting that high. Soybean meal is up 4.275 for May, and soybean oil is up 49 cents at 39.44 for May. Kansas City wheat up 1.25 at 476 and 3/4 for May. For July, it's up 1 at 487 and a half. Moving over to the Mercantile Exchange, boy, it's a much different story there as they've had triple-digit gains in the live cattle futures. It is up $1.22 for April at $95.25. Feeder cattle's up 90 cents for April at $108.10, but for May it's up $1.55 at $109.70. They've been helped out with some spillover support from the hog sector. Future gains have been limited a little bit by ideas that the box beef prices are topping out after hitting its highest level in 19 months last week. Of course, they were saying that last week that the beef prices had hit the high mark, but this week it looks like they're a bit mixed, at least today. Lean hogs, as we mentioned before, that hogs and pigs report that came out on Friday, bullish quarterly report there, and that has really helped out in the hog market as they got up 207 at 71.75 for April, and it looks like they hit the daily limit so far today, up 3 at 79.55 for May. So a very strong showing over on the hog market, and that's kind of what they expected. Switching to energy, crude oil is up 235 at 82.35 for May. Diesel's up 6 cents at 213 for April, and gas is up 6 cents at 226 for April. For the Mid-America Ag Network, I'm John Runyon.
Apex Cattle Company will be selling Angus, Sim Angus, Key Angus, and Black Hybrid Bulls, plus heifer mates on April 6th at the Loup City Commission Company, Loup City, Nebraska. Featured will be the first sons of the popular copyright. Selling will be a great set of yearling, fall yearling, and two-year-old bulls, everyone guaranteed to deliver free throughout Nebraska and the adjoining states. Cattlemen, mark your calendar today. Tuesday, April 6th, the Apex Cattle Heterosis Headquarters, Bull and Heifer Sale in Loup City, Nebraska. Videos and information are available at apexcattle.com or call 308-226-2576.
This spring, keep your lawn in shape with a dependable Steel. Choose a reliable Steel grass trimmer starting at just $149.99. Looking for something with more power? Check out the new FS70 trimmer with the easy-to-start system, just $279.99. Remember, affordable Steel power equipment is only available at your servicing Steel dealer. Visit your local Steel dealer today or find one at steeldealers.com. That's S-T-I-H-L-dealers.com. All prices and promotions are CDC SRP, available at participating dealers.
If you have grain to move, nothing moves like a Mayrath auger, and Stadler Implement in Minden is your local Mayrath auger dealer. Stadler carries everything you need to keep the job running smooth, from Kraus tillage tools to three-point blades and box scrapers. Go see Carl and the gang at Stadler Implement on East Highway 6 in Minden. You'll be satisfied with the service you get. Remember to bring in your meter units and have them tested before you need them again.
Hey, fishermen, you need to stop by the Boathouse in Grand Island. The Boathouse on North 281 is now carrying Bass Pro and Redhead branded fishing and hunting gear. Walleye spawn fishing will never be better with the best-selling Lure Rapella Lure. It's a new addition to the Boathouse's fishing arsenal. And the Boathouse hasn't forgot you hunters. Right now, they've got the best stuff for turkey hunting, like turkey calls, decoys, pop-up blinds, and, of course, all the ammo for your hunting expedition. Before you get out on the water or get out in the field, get to the Boathouse in Grand Island.
Stop in to Moonlight Embroidery and Screen Print at 1925 Avenue A, just east of the boxcar. Let them help you show your school spirit or get your business name out there this year. Moonlight has it all, from t-shirts, ball caps, polo shirts, and much more. They can screen print it or embroider it. Moonlight Embroidery and Screen Print can also keep your whole school styling with sports attire. Moonlight Embroidery and Screen Print at 1925 Avenue A, just east of the boxcar. Off Central Avenue in Kearney, open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Everything looks better by moonlight.
And welcome back, Doug and Daddy Show, for the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament, brought to you by our fine friends at Dyna Grow, offering only the best seed for your farm, representing a national brand that focuses its research on your success. Congratulating the Lady Huskers on an outstanding season. Grow with the best. Grow with Dyna-Grow. Contact Dyna-Grow, your local seed dealer, or if you want to find out more, 1-800-652-9298. 800-652-9298. And by the fine folks at Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. Excellence in rehabilitation. Visit them at 211 West 33rd Street. Give them a buzz, 236-5884. Or check them out online, familyptsc.com.
That's where Deb Antonelli went when she's in Kearney and her ankle went bad.
We want to thank, I think, Derek, are we all done for the day?
Yeah, it looks that way. I think you guys covered everything there.
We're back for tomorrow. A lot going on. Of course, Deb Antonelli just joining us. She will be doing a color for the Westwood One Final Four, which you'll hear right here on ESPN Radio. And check everything out tonight. Women's Elite Eight, two games tonight, two more games set for tomorrow. And we will have the Final Four of the women and championship game as well. Final Four for the men and championship game here on ESPN Radio. So let's wrap things up. We get out of here today. We want to thank the fine folks that joined us on the show today, including both Pam Ward and Deb Antonelli, who had the call of the game last night on ESPN, Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman to take a look at Oklahoma and their win over Notre Dame. Also, Matt Coatney, the voice of the Husker women's basketball team, for joining us on the show today. 32-2, best season in Nebraska women's history, and it should be viewed upon as that. They just got beat last night by a very good effort from Kentucky, 76-67.
Yeah, it'll certainly feel better for him when it quits hurting. It's good to be with you. We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.